What's up, everybody? I'm Bobby.
Hey, this is Chi.
I can never feel the shoes of Minnie, but I'm going to have to this week because he's not here because he's sick. I talked to him last night. I was like, dude, you sound terrible. He's like, I feel terrible. And he's not here today. So, you know, it took me 5 years before I called in sick for one day for the DL Gaming podcast. He did it twice now in like 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's time for a review. Like a... I sit him down and, you know, I have...
You got to sympathize, though. AIDS is a... I mean, it's a big deal.
Boom!
Fucking kidding.
He's right. Saying once in chat.
So we had quite the episode last week. You know, I really... Those are my least favorite episodes whenever we just have something like an event that we just have to go down the list of all these things to talk about. Yeah. It's basically like doing the news section before our entire episode.
Yeah, and there's no cohesion. We're not used to it. It's it takes the conversation part about it because we're like, we got to hit this and we got to hit that and we got to hit that and we're not speaking naturally. Yeah. What do you think about last week, Chi?
I think I talk to you damn much. I don't like it.
I mean, you say that every week, but then you talk again.
No, but and that I felt like I was trying to bring more material to the podcast because I did a little bit of research.
Yeah.
I barely heard Bobby, and then Minnie is MIA once again. So you guys are going to have to deal with me. I don't think female vocals are generally a strong point when it comes to learning about video games. So,
except for all the boys that have a crush on me, half our listenership.
I'm no Olivia Munn here. You know, I'm just, I'm so very basic and I apologize that you have to deal with this.
You're there, Olivia Munn. Trust me.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, this episode is going to be a change of pace. We're going back to our usual format. We got some games to talk about, and we're going to keep it moving despite the absence of Minnie. I'm drinking my Spider Widowmaker here.
Yeah. She's very nice. She always brings us snacks and gifts and stuff. And she bought us 85-cent energy drinks in the tall can.
99-cent. A dollar.
Right. And
basically borderline dollar store energy drinks, and it's sugar free, so Bobby's drinking it.
Mm-hmm. I thought they would be safe, but I've hence grown a third nipple since started drinking those. So
you haven't even drank these, only Bobby and I, and maybe Minnie, I think, at one point
through osmosis. Just being, it's a radiating can of destructive power.
Yep, really rolling the dice with this one.
Yeah, we are.
All right, well. We've got an interview at the end of this episode, right?
Yeah, we do. I interviewed the head of Ghost Ship Games. They are behind Deep Rock Galactic. It's been a while since we did one of those. It went really well, I thought. But then again, I think everything I do is awesome.
What was your sobriety meter when you were doing this interview?
Completely. Because he's in Denmark and I'm here. So I had to do it at midnight and he was at 9 a.m. He said, this is off the interview, he said that he had listened to us on the way to work for the last 3 days, so he knew what he was getting himself into. He said it was, good. Yeah, I was like, oh, Jesus, is it over? Like, is he not going to do it now? And he's like, no, very passionate, very good. Like,
yeah, passionate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a polite way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm saying, go fuck yourself. No, but he did it, and we had a good time. Like,
I feel sorry for him, because what gives him the time of the day to even listen to us?
Yeah, shout out to Dwarf Furious, who's now on our Discord as well. He's a mod on their Discord.
A very nice guy.
Yeah,
Dwarf is the best.
They got like 5,000 people on there playing. Like, if you bite Deep Rock Galactic and you don't have a group or you can't find somebody on there, I've been doing it. Just jump over to their server. There's just groups going nonstop, and you could just have on the Discord. But I also have to say that they're you don't need Discord because their in-game voice chat's very good. But more on that later. Anyway, had a great interview. Check it out. It's at the end of this episode.
Do you remember his name?
Soren. Yeah, Soren. Thank you, Soren.
What a nice name.
Yeah, what was it? Chad, he's like, so how did that go? Because I just had done that and we were playing. And I go, you know what? Those people from Denmark they're just better than us. That's all there is to it. Like, they're so smart. Like, every time I talk to some Norwegian or, like, anyway, that's the way I feel. Except for in the World Cup, bitches, Mexico just won again. Boom.
I'm very jealous that you still get to talk to Chad, because Chad is just, from what I feel, a mutual connection from here, because I never see him.
He'll be here for the, he'll be here for my birthday, my 40th birthday, that you won't be here. So that's a little more important. Anyway, Bobby, move it along, because I don't know what's going on.
We're moving it along. So let's talk about some games that are on our radar, games that have come to our attention recently. We had some from last week that we didn't get to. One of those brought up by our listener Shadow Master was Serious Sam 4. Now, this is obviously a longstanding franchise. Are any of you guys fans of Serious Sam, or is that...
So is 4 not out?
No.
Okay, so 3 I played all the way through, I believe.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I believe so.
I didn't beat that one.
And then 2 was so fucking long. Like, me and my friend played a co-op, and we played in the entire night till 7 in the morning, and we were not...
Wow.
Yeah, and we didn't get it done.
Because we were having so much fun?
Yeah. Yeah, it was
That's
fun.
Really cool.
But this old school. This is like Counter-Strike 1.5 days.
Well, I compare this to like the original Left 4 Dead. This was the game where you just had nonstop enemies coming at you all the time. And you didn't really see that in games a lot back then. Serious Sam 3 came out, and I remember it looking really good. Like, the graphics looked very good. I played that one, but I never beat it. This is developed by Crow Team, and they just out of nowhere made, what was that game? The puzzle one, Talos Principle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
So 4 is by a completely different dev.
Is it?
Is that what you're saying, though?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, still by Crow Team.
Okay.
Yeah, but it looks like more of the same. Looks like more Serious Sam. It's been a while. I think the third one was 2012, somewhere around there.
I did read that they can process, or whatever, the engine can handle 100,000 enemies on the screen at once. I don't know how you would even fit that on a screen. Like, you'd have to be in a helicopter or something like that.
That reminds me a little of Dead Rising, but to a much larger scale, of course. Are you? I've never played Serious Sam. Maybe because I never took him serious.
Yeah. Oh! I never take my Sam serious either. I date a Sam. Okay, nobody. No, right. Yeah, fuck you guys.
Unless you're dating someone.
This game looks...
Spoilers!
This game looks amazing in screenshots, but when you see it in motion, it kind of loses some of that
je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, some of those good looks. You know, it's one of those games that when the characters move around, it kind of looks a little janky. But
who cares? Maybe, you're not there for the graphics.
It's a good looking game, and it's fun gameplay. Like, it's just nonstop action. The enemies are creative. I don't know. I'm interested in this game, but they don't have a price on it yet. I don't know if I'm paying full price. Ooh,
can you scroll down half a screen again? Oh, I could have sworn it's off VR.
I feel like Serious Sam...
But 3 is on VR, right?
I feel like Serious Sam would exceed $40, but it shouldn't exceed $40.
Well, the last one was $35. I think it released at $35.
Okay, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Gee, it's like nonstop shit running at you, and you backpedaling and... using as much ammo or as much weapons in combination as you can. That's all it is.
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of fun. But that's what Left 4 Dead was for a while.
But there's such variety
in
the enemies,
moving.
Which makes for some interesting gameplay. So, like, you know, my favorite guys are these guys right here, the guys that have bombs for hands and no head. So you can't headshot them. And they run at you, and when they reach you, they just suicide bomb you and explode.
How do they find you? How do they sense you?
You hear them running from so far.
It's a very distinct sound. You hear a shout, and it gets louder and louder as it gets closer. So when you hear it in the distance, and you think right away, okay, I got to drop this guy before he gets close.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just have enemies like that. I love it when first-person shooters just do something different.
Mm-hmm. Bobby, did you ever see the tiny, tiny vignette about one of those guys going to work and like applying?
Oh, that sounds familiar. I feel like I did see that.
Yeah, he's losing his head, and he had to like talk it over with his wife. He's like, well, they're going to cut off my head or whatever. It's pretty funny.
That's funny.
Like, how do you become one of those guys, right?
Yeah. Let's see.
I think it's a good way to recycle, lost companions on the battlefield. Just take over their bodies.
Our internet's not so great right now.
We don't have any dropped frames.
Yeah. But are we at least recording? Because we did have an issue with that. Yeah.
How'd that turn out, Bobby? I didn't.
Oh, it's fine. You couldn't even tell.
Oh, really?
I pulled the audio from the stream and the quality, it was a little quieter, but I couldn't really notice unless I was really looking for it. So yeah, it worked out fine. It's nice to have a little backup there. But we did order some new batteries. We got a new keyboard here. I'm a big fan of this keyboard.
I like it. It looks very slick.
I use the same one at work. We'll bring it up in hardware. I'll put it in the notes. The last game I wanted to bring up for On the Radar was Darkest Dungeon has more DLC. So they're still developing this game, which is awesome. This is one of my all-time favorite games. New DLC is called The Color of Madness. It's got kind of a blue look to it.
Well, I saw multiple colors, like they're using, because Darkest Dungeon is dark. It's all grays and blacks. That's it. So I thought it was interesting that they brought in a bunch of colors.
It's like a teal. It's like a bluish green, but it has to do with aliens.
But I've seen other frames with like reds and purples.
When you look at Darkest Dungeon, it's definitely not an alien-esque type of game.
No, it's an interesting choice.
Well, it's it's based off of H.P. Lovecraft. So that is all about monsters and aliens and the supernatural and shit like that. So there's a lot to pull from there.
Last Boss Cthulhu, I'm calling it. Just kidding.
What is the last boss, Bobby? You beat the original game.
No, right? I didn't.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't. I put so much time into this, and I have not beaten the original one, because I started the Crimson Curse DLC, and that really complicates things, because randomly your guys will get infected by stuff, and then you have to deal with that, so it made it a lot more difficult.
If you guys don't know, we gave Darkest Dungeon Game of the Year, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah, you should before look up that interview.
Yo, we were... Fuck. Chad and I were super drunk coming home from a barbecue, and we were in love with this game. So we were like simultaneously gushing over like, oh, dude, you're the best person ever. And at the same time, barely keeping our shit together. It's so embarrassing, but it's out there. I don't know how you would find it.
It exists.
Did I put an S behind that? Anyways, I think what we should do is maybe clip some of those best moments and put it on YouTube. Since when was the last time we uploaded anything?
I don't know.
On YouTube.
Let's talk to our VR media guy. I don't know why I say VR.
Our
media guy.
our technological.
I'm on vacation.
Especially is literally.
So Chi, you said you alluded to Minnie having AIDS earlier. He says, no. You don't get AIDS from speaking to me, just from giving me $20. So.
Yeah. Fair trade, right?
Yeah.
Zing. All right. Zing.
Boom.
Also, so that's $4.99 for this DLC. That's what all their DLC has been.
No,
I'll probably
dude.
Pick it up.
Crimson Curse was like at least...
Was that a little bit more?
It was, yeah, it was a decent amount.
Let's take a look here. Crimson Curse. That was good DLC, though. That really... That made the game challenging again. Yeah, Crimson Court is $10.
$10, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. On sale for $69. They also added a new character, the Musketeer. I haven't had a chance to check him out yet, but they're adding... I'm glad they're still adding to this game. This is such a good game. I have so many hours in it.
And you know what's funny? Sky something derelicts, right? I covered it. It was like basically a space ripoff of Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And Deep Sky Derelicts. And it was on my wish list. And, it's a Steam sale. I guess we should talk about that at some point, right?
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that.
But it popped up, it's on sale, blah, blah, blah. I took a second look at it and I was like, why would I play the knockoff when the original is getting better all the time? Mm-hmm. And it's got a 70% with the all reviews. So I was like, I'd rather go back to Darkest Dungeon for $5. Yeah.
It does look very similar from the visual.
I might even say the art looks better in Deep Sky Derelicts, but I read.
I don't know. I don't like it as much.
I read on it, and they said it was very, like, there was nothing to the combat. It was very card-based. I still think it looks great, but, I have the master. Why would I fuck with the apprentice?
Sale. Deep Sky Derelicts is on sale for $12.79 during the Steam sale. Regularly $16, so it's only slightly cheaper than Darkest Dungeon.
I do got to say.
It got an award for best storytelling, and it is in early access still.
I do got to say, Bobby, like Darkest Dungeon might be your only like fantasy game that you enjoy that I know of. And yeah. I guess, wow.
Oh, that's right.
What are you talking about? Like thematic or yeah. gameplay?
Mm-hmm.
Like
thematic.
RPG? Okay.
Yeah. Overall.
Because it's not your, it's definitely yeah, not
the
your
genre. Genre itself.
Yeah.
You don't like fantasy,
but it
do
is,
you?
It is H.P. Lovecraft. And I never really, obviously he's influenced a lot of works throughout yeah. the years, but I never really read his work until after I played Darkest Dungeon. I'm like, all right, I got to find out more about this.
Damn. You. That's what got you into it?
I
remember
never
read
any of his books. And
wow.
I've started reading his books, and they are so incredible.
Wow.
And they are
awesome.
Fucking good. Like, they're actually scary. It's hard to get scared by reading something.
Jesus Christ.
Text never... It's scary in the same way that Paranormal Activity is scary. It's like, this feels real. Like, this feels like a real threat. This doesn't feel like ghosts and goblins and spooky shit. This feels like something that could exist.
Yeah.
Makes
Deacon
sense.
Starpus. Chi, I think you asked us a while ago. You're like, what is that tag, Lovecraftian? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Super long time ago. You had just started. But that's what it means is like, what, dark and unknowing, kind of like tentacles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a
tentacles, lot of Cthulhu. I mean, he's got so many different monsters that he's created, and it all has to do with like old ancient beasts or gods, basically, that, mm-hmm. that control the universe and like, somehow possess humans. Like, there's a lot to it, and it's all part of this, you know, larger universe. If you read his works, they kind of go into a lot of different areas. But
by the way, I was thinking about this the other day.
How old is Lovecraft?
1920s.
Wow.
Yeah.
1930s.
But if you're writing about spooky stuff, it doesn't matter, right?
Well, here's the crazy thing too. Like, he died a complete failure. Like, nobody cared about his works when he was making it, and he was like really good, and like one person was like, oh, dude, this shit is great. I got to get this out there.
Isn't that the worst for the person? Like, when you hear that, a lot of artists happens to them.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, I was thinking about this with Tolkien. So, Amazon is doing like a billion dollar show on Lord of the Rings. And it has to do, it's kind of like a prequel to the movies or something like that, but it's going to be an episodic thing. Anyway,
A TV series. Okay.
Like $1 billion. And I'm like, I don't think that Tolkien, like, he started the shit. He started the fantasy genre, basically. But it doesn't mean it's the best one. Like, it's been improved on so many times since then. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing's probably happened since Lovecraft. But although that shit chills you to the bone. Yeah. I've heard that.
What's really weird is there's never been like an official movie for Call of Cthulhu or Innsmouth or anything like that.
But are they short stories, Bobby?
Yeah, they're all very short.
Yeah.
And they're written almost like documentary style, like someone retelling like an event that happened. But there's some longer ones as well. But there's never really been any movies. I think there have been some, but they're not very good. Really, like, people just take what they want from it. They take like ideas or like visuals, like things that he describes, and then they use it in their works and kind of tweak it a little bit. So a lot of things are derivative of his work, but there's never really been like an official Call of Cthulhu movie.
There's a couple
games.
I'm
sure there's been like...
Do you remember Cthulhu Saves the World?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that game was bad.
Yeah,
it was like an RPG Maker game. You could literally hold down a button and run through that game.
The last time I saw any rendition of Cthulhu was from South Park, so...
The second one? Fractured Butthole?
No, not the video game
itself, the show?
Just the TV series. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. So that's everything we got for On the Radar. Let's talk about some games that we have been playing, because we got some backed up from a week prior. What do we want to start with here?
What? I was listening.
Talking about games.
You take the lead, Bobby.
Games go ahead, Bobby.
All right.
I didn't notice.
Let's go Deep Rock.
Deep Rock?
Yeah. You played it. For the first time, a good amount.
No, right? I'd played it before.
I mean, have you talked about it on the podcast?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your takes on it?
So it is a great game to play with other people. Like, it's a really, I don't want to say casual. It sounds like it has negative connotations when you call something casual, but it's almost a relaxing game.
Yeah,
except
it's
when
casual.
You're trying to make your escape.
It's casual because no matter what, you can't be so fully invested that you're going to tilt at your teammate or whatever or not.
I don't know. I was getting a little annoyed the other night. Some people who weren't...
pulling their weight. Dude, I kept... Okay. I was aggressive because, like, I'm level 16. I was playing with 3 level number ones, right? So I was like, okay, I'm going to show these people how to play. So I'm barking. I'm like being a manager. Get it. Okay, I'm being an asshole. I'm in charge. I put myself in charge. I keep finding mines. Like, we'd find some nitra, and only like 80% of it was mined. Then the rest of it would just be on the wall. And I saw it once, then I saw it twice, then I saw it three times, and I'm like, hey, fuckers. Yeah. If you're gonna fucking, I'm not gonna call out names. I didn't know who it was. if you're gonna mine all the shit. Like, don't just mine it and then leave it. And then, sure enough, later on that match, we needed like 8 nitra so that we were in dire straits. Like, this is the end. Nobody has anything. Our health is low. We got no ammo. Nitra is how you afford to buy resupplies. Mm-hmm. We're fucking out of supplies. And we need 8, and we can't find 8. And I was like, do you remember me saying this, Bobby? Like, hey, can you guys please mine everything?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost relaxing in a way, but then there are moments in the game where you really need to step up and do your job. And it's everything that, you know, I talked about this last week, how I love games where you have to do your job so someone else can do their job, because if each person does their job, then we all accomplish this one goal. And my job is different than your job. And this is exactly that type of game. You know, you got 4 different classes.
Elaborate? Yeah.
Yeah. So you got the driller who just drills through stuff. You got the gunner who's kind of like the security detail. You know, he's helps with the bug invasions, defends those. Engineer's got a turret, and he also has platforms. And then the scout who can get around really quickly. The scout, or who is it that has the
grappling hook?
The conveyor belt.
Engineer.
Yeah. Oh, that's the gunner.
That's the gunner. Yeah. So like the gunner would toss that up there. I put engineer. A platform. No. The engineer has the platforms.
Yeah.
So you're always working together to accomplish this goal. And it's one of those games where you really have to stick together. You know what I don't understand, though? This game, like graphically, it looks good. It's definitely got a style to it. It's kind of a blocky type style. It's a good looking polygonal game, but it doesn't. Yeah. Polygonal.
Huge polygons.
But it doesn't look like it would take up that much. You know, like that hardcore of a GPU to run, and yet my computer heats up a lot while playing this game. Same thing with Dying Light.
That's because the RNG, Bobby.
The RNG. Oh,
yeah.
It's like
it's all
everything.
Yeah.
Same thing is happening with Dying Light. My computer was heating up.
No.
Well, no, because I'd never really played like any AAA titles, I think, on my newest rig. So I've been kind of curious how it'll handle that. I mean, it handles HOTS just fine, obviously, but. Yeah, I got to look inside and see what's going on. I may need to take off the low noise adapters because my computer's heating up a bit.
When you download this game, it's like, it's tiny. I downloaded it in like 3 minutes. It's a tiny game. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
but it's because every time you go into a game, it's randomly generated. So your CPU is building all that shit. I think that's how that works. To match whatever the engine had told it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyway.
But good game. I enjoyed it. It's definitely one of those go-to games, like if you're just looking for something to play with other people.
Yeah, I'm looking to kill time.
Can we talk about the update, Bobby? Do you have that ready to go?
Yeah.
They just had a big update. We didn't talk about it on the interview. That's why I'm going to bring it up here. I mean, he talked about it, but we didn't go over the thing. Selfless Operation came in, which is cool because, Bobby, you didn't play this, I don't think. You just stay at the dropship.
I think I did one of these missions with you.
Not last night. Yeah, and it was super hard. Remember, we died a bunch?
Yeah.
They toned that down since then. That was one of the hot fixes. It was super hard. Anyway, you don't have to explore. You can stay in one cavern. That's the new thing there. There's a grabber beast.
Yeah, these guys are annoying.
Now, they're super annoying. They come and they pick you up. They don't do damage, but they'll take you super far away. If your teammates shoot at them, they'll drop you. But they have a ton of hit points. So you got to deal with the same one, sometimes 2-3 times. And
well,
it sucks.
I found as playing the engineer, if you drop a turret, then it really helps out with that, especially if you're by yourself. Because
that's
all you
awesome.
Need is somebody just to put a few bullets in him to drop you. But it's kind of like Left 4 Dead, where if you're out on your own and you get caught by a zombie, you're pretty much fucked. Like, you got to have one person around to help out.
I think it's nice that they did implement that because this game would do very well with more Left 4 Dead elements, like the grabber itself. I don't know what the term of that thing is, but it grabs you and it moves you around and it requires
it's
you
called
to
the grabber.
Oh, okay. So, and you're vulnerable. There's nothing you can do while you're being grabbed by this person, this thing, this flying insect, really. Mm. And your teammates have to help you out. So it makes a team-based game more team-based.
Yeah, for sure.
And
it forces the fun.
It really does. It really does. I remember being grabbed by it a couple of times. I think once it rammed me into something that exploded. That's one of my teammates shot and it killed me. Mm. And then I think if you shoot shoot it and it drops you, you suffer from fall damage. I have a lot less fun with this game considering how much fall damage I experience because I have only played the scout class.
Yeah.
And I'm still kind of learning the different mechanics with the grappling hook. Like, I think it's easier to jump and maneuver with the grappling hook, but maneuvering through it as a scout has been more challenging than it has been in other.
We can say that'll segue right into the key performance indicators. It's a perk system now that like there's like a you know like a what's it called?
It's like a talent tree.
A talent tree. Thank you. Mm-hmm. There's a talent tree, and you can go with less fall damage and branch off into. Continue to go down less fall damage.
That applies to any class that you use, right?
I believe so. I think it's.
I just wish there was a jump mechanic after you grapple. That was my hugest frustration. All I needed was a foot more in leeway, and I would have survived. But
if I had
instead,
a foot
I just
more,
fall.
It'd be a great life too.
That's what she said.
Hey now. And vanity customization system. There's a bunch of new things, crazy haircuts,
but no
stuff
lady,
like that.
But no lady dwarves yet.
No lady dwarves, and new environmental and hazards, and some balancing changes. So, anyway, we like the game, and there's an interview at the end of this. But I did want to go over that because we didn't end the interview. What's next, Bobby?
Next up. Let's talk about Dying Light, because I beat that game this week. I really wanted to talk about it last week. Hopefully, I didn't spoil too much. I really
liked
this game.
Honestly, you didn't talk enough.
Well, I didn't realize how similar this game was to Dead Island. And I was a huge fan of Dead Island, and especially Riptide. I know a lot of people didn't like it when it first came out. There was a lot of bugs. There were some issues with it. So this is a lot like Dead Island, but there's parkour in it. There's a lot more action. You're jumping through roofs. There's
not like
RPG.
Is it like Dead Island in the element that you're playing co-op versus a multitude of zombies?
Like this game could have been Dead Island 3. It almost feels like a mod of Dead Island.
That's
like they
really
added
cool
parkour. And it's really hard to kill zombies in this, so you're a lot better off just running past them. And it's got the day-night cycle, which is awesome. I mean, Amelia has already talked about this when the game came out like 3 years ago. A ton of people have already played it. They know how great this game
you're
is.
You're late to the party, but yeah, still, it doesn't matter. There's a ton of people out there like you.
Yeah, and I was excited for the Dying Light 2 that was coming out. So I was like, dude, it was on sale, $15.99 or $20 for all the DLC.
A steal.
I got to get around to playing this game. This game, when we talked in 2014 at the end of the year, we talked about the games that we were most looking forward to. This was my number one game that I was excited about, and I just never got around to playing it. I think 2015, January, was like when I started playing hot, so that probably had something to do with it. But yeah, I really enjoyed this game.
I feel like sometimes you don't want sloppy seconds because like I played it, I enjoyed it, and then you were like, well,
you kind of vicariously already experienced the game. Mm. I'll tell you what I didn't like though is at the very end, they have this great sequence where you're climbing up to face the final boss, a whole parkour thing where you're climbing all the way up this huge tower, and you get to him, and it's a quick time event. And I don't know when the last time I've gone off on QuickTime events, but I absolutely hate them so much.
Really? I like QuickTime events.
Oh, they're terrible. Because they always do it in cutscenes. So I sit back and I'm like, okay, story time. Let's get involved in what's going on here. Then it's like, smash your V key. I'm like, oh, fuck. What was going on? Okay, who's mad at what now? Like, imagine watching a movie and then all of a sudden it was like, to continue, you had to just mash a key really fast or something. So,
well, certain games played off very well. I kind of liked it when Final Fantasy did it during their summons, just because they forced you to watch those summons each and every time, and it was a good 30 seconds to 45 seconds per battle, or multiple times per battle, and you had to deal with it. So at least they gave you some incentive to kind of bear that little cutscene. So for me, I don't mind, especially if you have to go through these cutscenes multiple times. So it feels like you're more involved with the cutscene. God of War does it very well.
Yeah, and I think that's the intention, to make you feel like you have some agency in the game, like
absolutely
in the cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work that way. I don't think it does. There's a great...
Did you get it done on the first try? Do you remember?
No. I stayed up late to finish this game. It was like midnight.
Oh, so you're already
you
drowsy.
You failed the QuickTime event?
Oh, yeah.
Like I did, too.
Times. Yeah.
What?
Like it took one me or a two couple times.
I thought QuickTime events are the easiest thing in the world.
No, it wasn't the key button. Yeah, it was changes. Like press W.
It's not always A. D-A-B.
Yeah, it's like playing whack-a-mole with your keyboard.
Yeah.
The worst ones are when they're like, you got a smasher key. It's like, fuck you, dude. I'm not going to abuse my keyboard like
this. This comes natural to Chi. She just laid a little foreshadowing here. I'm going to call out everything. Her Beat Saber skills were impeccable, but...
Yeah, I went from easy to what, hard?
Yeah, you went from easy to hard, yeah.
Yeah, in a matter of
2 minutes.
It seemed like it.
Anyway.
So we got to play the following, the DLC for that.
I've been dying. I've been waiting for over a year. First of all, this developer, they are one of, I put them in the realms of CD Projekt Red and some other developers that are, you can just. The passion is palpable, right? These are the guys where, like, when EA started their bullshit with, like,
loot boxes,
with, like, loot boxes and season passes, they did the, what was it? Like, the water DLC, where, like, if you just drank a glass of water, they'd give you the DLC for free. But you didn't have to drink it water. It was, they're just trying to make a point that, like, DLC should not be paid for. So DLC just kept coming out. There's like five DLCs for free.
Oh, that's smart.
But then their giant DLC, the following, the one that me and, was the same price as the original game. $60 DLC.
Oh, fuck no.
No, but apparently it's better than the first game. And it has more content.
You know what? That
it's
makes sense.
It's almost like part two.
It's like the Left 4 Dead 2 equation. Left 4 Dead 2 easily could have been just a monster DLC.
Yeah.
But they had so much success with the game. They had that they were, and they knew they needed to release something else to kind of monetize off of what they did with the original Left 4 Dead. Mm-hmm. And of course, they got some backfire for it. But at the same time, Left 4 Dead 2 is recognized as its own individual game.
Yeah.
And is, you know, up there, very strong, top of the list in terms of favorite games of all time, even though technically, even though it was a second title, could have been just a very strong, heavily priced DLC.
Yeah, totally.
Is that how that DLC
it's
played off as?
It's basically just semantics, right? Like, you could call it part two, or you could call it like a giant DLC,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty much the same thing. The following probably could have been part two, and we'd be talking about part three now, but more on this later, right? Bobby, we're going to play this.
Probably. Yeah, we'll play the following.
Yeah, we're going to play the shit out of the following. I'm going to force him.
There's room for four players, too. So if you want to join, as long as you've completed
don't
prologue.
Don't put that out there, dude. Don't.
No, dude, it'd be better if we have more
you
people.
You got a bunch of creeps out there, dude.
You don't want to deal with all those catfishes.
I'm just kidding. Fastidious.
I played with most. Yeah, Fastidious joined in at one point. I really like how they did multiplayer. The single-player multiplayer experience is so fluid on this game. I'm just going through my campaign, and then people will pop in and out. Like Fastidious joined up for a little bit, and I got some randos. And at one point in the game, I got some people who were obviously hacking, were dropping like really good items. And I was like, eh, fuck it. And I kicked them. You know, I didn't really want to cheat at the game. Cheating at a single player game is kind of,
hey, so Chosen in chat has finished the following. Would you say it's like lesser, equal, or better than the original game? If you could say that. Ooh, she's doing some burps finally.
I know. It was a burp, but my mouth was closed, so it was kind of a stomach growl.
Kind of like
but through my nose.
It was beautiful.
I don't think they
I've been
heard
doing
it.
That shit for weeks now. Have you guys listened? Like, I've been burping all over the mic. I haven't this week.
I started drinking as soon as I got here, like, so.
Been trying to edit it.
My vacation starts tonight tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., so that's why early clinks.
Cheers.
For cheers.
Bobby, want to drink?
Vacation is starting.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, right. Okay. I wish. I can't wait for the all night. Right. I'm actually drunk with Bobby.
He's not answering, so let's
Bobby,
go.
On my or your wedding day, can we get drunk?
Bobby's never getting wedding. Never getting married.
He's never getting wedding. Ditto.
All right, let's go.
All right. So, yeah, Dying Light, fantastic game. Steam sale.
So, one thing. I heard you playing... I overheard you playing. You guys were doing night missions?
Mm-hmm.
No, fuck night missions, dude. There's no way.
So much
who
more.
Who cares? They're scary, dude.
No, if you do...
Those things will kill you.
It's so much easier if you have a second person, because if you get knocked down, they can help you back up.
Oh.
So it's like a free save. But you get so much more XP for doing a night mission. And if it's something easy, like go from A to B, like if you just book it and you stay safe and you don't aggro a bunch of the special infected or whatever they're called, the hunters, then you're okay. And you get a lot, dude. You get a lot for doing it during night. So sometimes we would do that, but when we got to the second area, it was way too difficult and we knocked that shit off. But if I leveled up more, probably would do it.
Oh,
got some biddies coming in.
Coming in. Does that mean 300 bits or is that just one, yeah, three times?
100 times three is 300. Nice.
Thank you, dude. I didn't know that if that was, anyway, Chosen's review is, I will say this. It was a lot of running zombies over. And I think what he means by that is there's vehicles. And so I guess you run them over in your vehicles.
Yeah, but that was one thing that was absent from Dying Light was vehicles. In Dead Island, vehicles were a big part of the game. They're how you got around to a lot of different places.
Did you end up finishing Dead Island?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dead Island and Riptide.
It was weird. Bobby sometimes latches onto these games that are known as like, or considered bad games, and he'll just love it and just go in like Duke Nukem.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's a long story.
Okay, let's go.
All right. Let's get this out of the way. I played a game called Gun. I'm in the middle of playing it. I'm actually halfway through. I'll probably finish it tonight on stream. So this is a game that was released in 2005, and it's a shooter, a Western shooter. So
third person, right?
No, it's first person. Oh. I've had my eye on this game for a long time. You know, I love those mid-2000s.
I saw you playing it. I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah, the graphics are rough. The graphics are very rough. And the voice acting is terrible.
Okay.
And it's got like auto
aim.
It's got auto aim that just you cannot turn off, and it auto aim's the worst. It just like fucks with your aim constantly. But it's like Red Dead Redemption almost. They try to do open world in 2005 with a shooter, but it's 2005, so they create this game that just feels so empty. You're walking around and it's like a ghost town. There's this whole like Western town set up, but like no bushes. There's like two people walking around. It just feels so isolating. But I admire what they're trying to do with this game. It's not a good game, even by 2005 standards. Like I'm a little disappointed in it, but I'm halfway through it, so I'm going to finish it.
Gun came before or after Red Dead Redemption? I remember selling this.
Right?
Before? I remember selling this as a GameStop girl. And I remember selling it to people who it might appeal to, but it never appealed to me personally. Mm-hmm. Red Dead, on the other hand.
Don't look this up. It looks like Oregon Trail.
I mean, it's 2005.
It doesn't look like Oregon Trail. It looks like a wannabe Red Dead, but before Red Dead.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Yeah.
Before Western games were good.
Gee, did you play Red Dead? Gun.
Yes, I played Red Dead. I enjoyed it a lot.
I had this question because there's rumors that it's going to PC immediately. Maybe we're going to get it eventually, I think, even if we have to do it ourselves. You're distracting me. What I wanted to ask was, so GTA has a definitely like a goofy feel to it, right? Like the people are like, hey, you stepped on my foot. Or like, just like the people on the street are not normal people. They're goofier than normal.
Yeah.
In Red Dead, is it more serious? It feels like it's more serious.
Well, there are more hostiles in Red Dead, I feel like.
Like just on the side of the road?
They'll
shoot at you?
There are definitive NPCs, like shopkeepers, story drivers, and whatnot, but there's not so much foot traffic compared to Grand Theft Auto. In Red Dead, you found yourself almost outside of certain towns.
Oh, right.
It was virtually strictly hostile territory. And it was a lot of fun. Red Dead was so much fun. I never beat the game, but I played the shit out of it, single player and multiplayer.
Mm. Do you murder hundreds of Native Americans in Red Dead?
I don't recall.
Okay. Because you do in this game. You kill a lot of them. And it's like filled with like all the racist shit from back in the day. They're like these goddamn Chinamen and the railroad and shit. I'm like, holy shit.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's a period piece, right?
I don't even know if that's what they're going for. It feels like they're just were unaware of it. So I don't know. It does feel like a little dated in that sense. Like this would never come out today, especially after playing Prey, where the main character is a Native American, and it kind of pays respects to that culture. It treats it very delicately. And this one's just like using all these terms and just like straight up murdering them. And the Indians come out and they make the stupidest sounds. The audio is really bad in this game, but I'm still going to play it. I'm going to beat it. I'm halfway through it.
I wish you wouldn't.
Going to close the deal.
There's so many better things we could do. I love that Minnie's. He just, I think he feels super guilty for not being here. He just donated, or he just gave us so many bits. I can't.
It's
even
all count. That money he earned while he was gone for a week.
Oh yeah, he's been in the desert working hard.
Sorry, but you can't buy our love, Minnie, no matter how hard you try. But we could buy yours for $20.
Yep.
All right. So I bought this game as part of the Activision bundle. So if you're on my Steam friend list, you may have noticed that I picked up quite a few games during this sale. Spent a lot of money.
This is the Steam Summer Sale, correct?
Yeah, the Steam Summer Sale.
Nobody's ever heard of that before.
The Activision bundle. Let me pull it up here so you can see everything that I got here. There were a couple games that I wanted from it, and I was just kind of like, yeah, fuck it. I still have so much money piled up from selling off all my inventory. Even after spending all this money, I've got like $250 left in my Steam account.
You bought the Activision bundle for $440, Bobby?
No, it wasn't that much because I already had a lot of these things. So it ended
oh,
up...
Oh, it reduces that much? Mm-hmm. It reduces the ones you already have?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, I had a lot of these. I think I spent $200 on this.
Is this all Steam wallet money?
It started because I wanted this Zork anthology right here.
Was it all the $3.89?
Yeah, but then they're like, but wait. If you get the Activision bundle, you get 10% off. So I was like, sold. I'm all about that value.
I have rarely heard something more ridiculous than
upsell.
What you had just said.
The upsell.
That is
Bobby.
Ridiculous. Yeah, the upsell. If you guys ever see, if you are in retail and Bobby comes in, you just offer him 10% off, he will buy the store. It's game over, folks. It's game
And the same thing.
I know you just wanted this pillow, but I have a house for sale. If you buy this pillow, I will.
Hey, man, I got a lot of great titles here.
Okay.
Oh,
but the same
gosh.
Thing happened with the Eidos bundle. So I wanted to get Mankind Divided. This one wasn't as much. This one was only
it's
like 40
It's his vacation.
Bucks.
You know, him buying these games means he's going to play all of them all year.
I mean, here's the deal. I sold off my inventory. Like, I started doing it in January. I've had hundreds and hundreds of dollars in Steam money, Steam fun bucks, that I haven't been able to spend elsewhere for months now, for like half a year. So I was just like, fuck it.
Yeah, but when good games come out, like known good games for like $40, you will not pull the trigger on that. But a shit ton of crappy games and you're all in.
Well, I mean, what's funny is these bundles that I bought, like the games that I really wanted were the cheap ones.
I want to play Just Cause 3. I'm so glad I can play
that. Thief is on there. That's good.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider was good too.
All the Tomb Raider things. What I really wanted out of this one was Mankind Divided though. I think I'm going to get into that this summer.
Kanan Lynch?
I'm going to finally do it.
I think you got a good deal, Bob.
Yeah, the Eidos bundle is pretty good. So I bought those. I also bought some video content. I've talked about this before. There's a great show called Con Man. I mean, you can find it elsewhere if you don't want to pay like $5. Yeah, like Steam's video library is actually pretty extensive.
What are you playing? $5 for the season?
Yeah, $5 for the season.
How many seasons are there?
Two.
Okay. Yeah. And is it done or is it continually going?
Is Dark Angel on there? Because
on
I would purchase
no,
that.
No, there are only two seasons. But it follows Alan Tudyk. You know who he is? He does a lot of voice acting.
No,
he was in. He was the pilot in Firefly. Or what is
oh,
that?
I love him. Wash?
Yeah, he was the robot in Rogue One. Candy.
He's
also in
Arrested Development. He's the pastor in
Arrested Development. Yeah, that guy, dude. He's hilarious.
I love him. He's Chad's doppelganger.
Con Man is like 10 minutes an episode. It's super short, and it's great. It's basically him just playing like an extended version of himself. You know, he goes to all these cons, these conventions, and he deals with all these sci-fi nerds. It's basically him playing the heightened version
of
his pilot. So,
gotcha.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah, it's so funny. I don't mind. I like that I'm building up a video library in Steam, especially with the app that they're coming out with for the phone. So I'll be able to stream it there. I'm building up that video library.
Yeah, it's
is
gonna
this
be great.
You putting your faith back into Steam? Considering how much money you're
in Steam.
What? Just,
what?
Are you sure about that?
No, I don't expect much out of them as far as
naysayer number one.
I don't know. Bobby has such a weird relationship with Steam. It's like
most times when I'm going to report on Steam, I'll try to say the word Steam, and in the middle, I'll be like Steam, and be like, nah. Every single time, nah, haven't done any shit in year, nah. I'm like, I'm trying to get a story out.
It's like the on and off again ex-girlfriend of Bobby's. It all depends on like how she's looking and what she's wearing when he notices her, right?
Well, I've been trying the Steam beta lately. I'll talk about that later, but let's finish up with the Steam sale. What have you guys been buying and playing?
Well, it was an interesting thing that happened to me. You know, you get those emails about like everything on your wish list is on sale, right? So I look at my wish list and there's six games on there maybe. And upon reinspection, I'm like, what the? Was I drunk? Like, not that bad, but just like, yeah, this is not worth my money.
It
like
makes
real
you reassess
money.
Your,
yeah,
your
you reassess.
That happened to me too.
It's really interesting because I think of these games, they go on your wish list when you're, it's like an infomercial. You just got off a crazy gaming sesh. It's 2 a.m. You buzzed, drunk maybe, and you see this game and you're like, oh yeah, add another one. And you just keep going and you get this giant wish list. And, you know, a sober relook at it. And
I almost use my wish list as a way of tracking games because there's just so many on Steam. It's easy to lose track of them. When I bought these bundles, I had to go through, I had to bring the bundle list back up and just pick out all the ones that I actually wanted to play and start installing them just so I could keep track of them and I wouldn't forget them and they'd get lost in my library.
I kind of do the same thing. I throw games into my wish list that I otherwise would forget about, but I know I want to play. And then I'll get the email alert from Steam letting me know it's on sale. And then based on how much it's on sale, then I will pull the trigger. I have no qualms buying something for $60 if I know I'm going to enjoy it wholeheartedly and at the time it's released. But for other titles, unless I'm ready to stop everything, drop everything and play it right then and there, it's hard for me to buy it.
Well, there's also that other option. I don't know what it means really, but there's add to wish list and then there's also follow. So I guess that just tells you when the updates come
on. I don't know how that follow works. Yeah, I followed Game Support just to see what it would do and nothing really happened. I think if you go to your activity list, which nobody uses on Steam, but you can bring up an activity
on theme. Where?
I don't have Steam up right here.
But probably in the community.
It's up here. Gotcha. Yeah, you go to your activity feed, and it'll show you like what your friends are buying, what your friends are doing. You can comment.
I check
on
it
things.
Every now and then.
Yeah, it's very rare for me, but
it's almost like a Facebook feed, but for Steam. Okay. So every now and then, most of it is just trash and not necessary, but every now and then I'll see something like an interesting screenshot or if somebody reviewed a game recently or posted a screen or purchased a game, obviously how somebody caught on your recent shopping spree, Bobby. I don't mind it. It's interesting just to look over and gander, but you do not want to get lost in it.
Yeah.
But Bobby, what platform are we talking about?
What platform?
That we're talking about?
Steam?
Nah.
Man, you guys act like I can't have more than one opinion on things.
Yeah, that
mixed
is
feelings,
true. You
mixed
can't.
Feelings. If Bobby were a review, he'd be the mixed.
No, I mean, it's Steam. There's a lot of different things that I like and a lot of things that I don't. But like, I think a lot of people have these unrealistic expectations from Steam. And I think they've really shown where they stand on a lot of issues. And people keep kind of expecting these things that are just not going to happen.
They're definitely late to the party on most stuff.
It's still a great place to
but they're
get all
still
your games.
The core foundation of most PC gaming actions.
I was super I was thinking about this for the first time this new
I mean we're using
through.
Steam as the Hub. Go-to video I mean for everything that we show on our own podcast we're using Steam videos almost just about
but for PC gaming, it is key for sure. But for the AAA titles, they are almost all going to their own streaming sites or their own downloading sites now. It's like you got to get
it's
Origin.
It's like Titan with the Carters.
Sure, I don't know what that means, but you have to
will,
get you
will.
Have to get Origin. You have to get EA access. You have to get what are some of the other ones to play the AAA titles and I was. when I was looking at this Steam sale this time, and I'm like, these are all indie games, and I love indie games. Some of my favorite games are indie games, but there's a definitely a
lack. I have no problem with indie games. My best friend is an indie game.
He's also black. And but there's definitely a lack of AAA titles from big developers now on Steam, for sure. The only one you'll see is maybe Assassin's Creed. You'll see those kind of games, but you're missing a ton of games now.
I think. The beautiful thing too is that you don't need a AAA title to make AAA money. Look at games such as Stardew Valley.
They're killing it,
and a lot of indie developers
killing the game. I just wish everything was on one app.
I feel like, unfortunately, a lot of the games out there now is how can we make this viral.
Yeah.
Like, if we make this game viral, it's sold, it's bought, it's money in the bag. Even if it is a shitty game. I can't tell you enough how many games out there that are super shitty but sold and allow the developers to make millions off of it, even though it never amounted to anything. But because of the Steam infrastructure, they were able to monetize, you know? So
say the game.
It pays. Steam pays.
What game?
TSL.
Ooh, I don't know what that is. Let's go.
So, the Stomping Lands. Steam. I tried out the Steam beta. We brought this up last week when we were talking about the new chat programs and everything. Yeah. I updated to the beta. I like it. They've changed it a little bit visually. I'm going to play a little bit of here so you can see it when I'm talking
about. It's definitely bigger. Cleaner, maybe.
It's got a different look to it. They've made a lot of necessary updates. What are we doing over here? What are we poking? That one? Okay. Oh, yeah. We can go big screen on that. So the friends list is obviously a lot better there. It organizes them. You can put pictures in chat, links in videos in chat, all that cool stuff. The way that they actually organize the library is different too. I like it. When you click on the developer of the game in the Steam page, it actually takes you to a community webpage for that developer. You can see what other games that they've made. You can follow that developer. You can kind of keep track of them.
So, oh, that's cool.
There's a lot of little things that are nice about it. Haven't found
it feels very social media-esque when you describe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not like this is. It's not anything incredible or necessary at this point, but it's a lot of little nice things that make it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. This just got brought to my attention by Sniper the other day, Bobby on Discord. Have you ever clicked on games?
Yeah,
that's top left corner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is like this, but already in Discord, which we're already on anyway.
Yeah.
And they have a bunch of information on there. Not just, it'll tell you who's playing, what they're playing, which is already on your right sidebar, but your right sidebar is so gigantic anyway.
Yeah, it organizes them in a different way. So you can just organize it by game. So like Deep Rock Galactic, who's playing that? Like who of all the servers, the Discord servers that I'm connected to is playing Deep Rock Galactic. So rather than going to the DLG server and seeing what people are playing and then going to another server and seeing what those people are playing, you can actually sort it by game, which is great.
Yeah,
it's a cool feature. I think we actually had
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. He was saying that he thinks they're only one step away from selling games and just being bigger than Steam. But we'll see.
I don't know. People are already.
No. I think Steam should acquire Discord.
What's very weird about this Steam beta update is the sound for the Steam message is different now, and it keeps throwing me off because they've had the same sound.
Oh, yeah. I have a very classic Steam message sound as my text message on my phone.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's not the one that you probably hear prior to beta or what is the official sound now, but even before that, I'm talking when Steam launched, that a very original Steam sound is my Steam voice message. Actually, I think I could pull it up and play it for you guys. Do you know what it sounds like? Are you able to play it at all?
Put it up to your mic, I guess.
The Steam message sound, the old one?
No, I have it. I have it on my cell phone. The very classic one. Only old schoolers like me. No, I'm kidding. Can pull it up. Let me see if I... Yes, that one. That's it.
That's your text message?
No, that's the new one. The old one. We're talking classic.
Oh, what was the classic one?
The classic one. Hold on.
I don't remember another one.
Let's get real
quick. That's the one that's current.
Anyone remember this one?
Hi, CQ. Yes. Yes. No, but the very classic one. Let me see if I have it. Hold on.
All right.
I'm sorry. While I try to find
Emilio
it.
Emilio just walked out. She's on her cell phone.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's nothing wrong with a Steam beta. Like, I don't see any reason to not update to it. It's just like it feels like a lot of necessary updates to the client that Steam was in bad need of. Let's see what other game. Oh, everything else.
How do you like it,
though? How do I like it?
Yeah.
It's fine. It's nothing. Like I said, it's nothing that you absolutely need, but it's a lot of little things, a lot of little improvements that add up to. Are you finding this? Or?
I'm not finding. My phone is being very weird. I'm sorry. Carry on the podcast, Bobby.
I don't
Bobby.
Know. I have nothing to carry on. Let's go to Emilio with his VR games. Oh, wait, he's not here. All right. We're just going to.
But you did. Okay. So, guys, we have been using the VR Pro in Emilio's garage. She's been cleaning it out slowly but surely, and we've got plenty of space to play VR. I have always had a positive experience with VR, not to the point where I want to invest over $1,000 into it, but I can tell you, whenever I put that headset on and try out what they have, I have a great time with it. Recently, we tried out Beat Saber here in the studio, and Beat Saber to me is DDR with your arms. You really get into the music, or Audio Surf. I feel like it's a merger between Audio Surf and DDR, and I absolutely love it. In fact, after this recording, I wish I could play it some more before I leave.
$5,
please. That's what you owe me at least for finding this for you guys. But with Beat Saber, this is the type of rhythm-based game that you would obsess with DDR, with Guitar Hero. It's just one of those things where your body is moving while you're playing this game. You're really getting enthralled by the music. I wish they had more music options. I think from what we were experiencing, there was only 10.
Yeah, you can mod your own songs.
I would love to try out the mods with this game. Nonetheless, Audio Surf is one of my hands-down favorite Steam release titles. And then on top of that, I used to lock myself in my basement. I know, very Asian girl. But lock myself in my basement and train on DDR until I made it to a next level of difficulty before I would come up back to
You could be a lawyer. Service. You could be a lawyer doctor with all the effort that you put into DTR.
But no, trust me, I've sacrificed so many things, my education, my future, and my relationships for video
fun,
games.
Though.
For
fun.
Video games.
How much fun, though? You've had more fun than any of those people. You'll never own a house or anything like that, but it's fine.
Yeah, Beat Saber's a lot of fun. It's the same feeling as Guitar Hero. I remember the first time I played Guitar Hero. I watched someone play it, and I was just like, I don't get it. That looks stupid. And then you actually play it, and you're like, holy shit, there's something here. Same reaction I got when I first played Beat Saber. Now, I don't really like to jump around and shit when I'm playing video games, so not really my thing. Although I was very impressed with Arizona Sunshine. They had a big update to this where you can now use two-handed weapons. And this game, what I liked about it is the campaign. It's got a story that actually plays out here. So it's not just you standing there shooting zombies that are slowly walking towards you. Like, there's dialogue. It is kind of weird to basically have an interior monologue just throughout the entire game.
Yeah, you're hearing what he's thinking, right?
Yeah, he's thinking out loud. He's just talking to himself, which maybe in a zombie apocalypse.
And the other thing that's interesting is, like, he's not new to the zombie apocalypse. He has, like,
It's another day in the zombie wasteland.
Yeah.
So yeah, Arizona Sunshine, I was very impressed with. What's the price on that game? These games are not cheap.
How much is Beat Saber? Which is still in early access.
This is why Emilio is a fucking dickhead.
$20.
Knowing that the Steam Summer Sale was coming up, but getting
That's what I heard in my brain.
Oh.
That was my inner dialogue.
But getting the VR, like, I got the VR for 4 days.
Holy shit, how's this game $40 before sale?
I mean, it's a full single-player game.
Yeah.
VR games are pricey. Like,
I'm about to go in the mine, Bobby. That's where I'm at.
Nice.
I can't wait to play this. That seems like a lot of fun. It seems like House of the Dead via VR.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
And then just
Bobby, you did
out.
Shout at some point. You said, ah! And I've done that too.
Yeah,
they have a sneaky way of sneaking up on
you. It's VR, man. You're in there. Like, you're in the world.
It's so weird when you take off the goggles. Did you guys talk about the hardware while I was in the bathroom?
No, we didn't.
We're playing on the Vive Pro now, thanks to Death Wish. You can find them on our Discord. It is magnitudes of better than the original Vive, I think. Right, yeah, Bobby?
We used a first-gen Oculus, and we used the original Vive. This is 100 times better than both.
Very
those.
Precise.
100 times better, but you're going to pay for it. Usually, this rig by itself, this is the headset, the 2.0, what are they called? Sensors. I don't even think it comes with fucking stands for the sensors. And the controllers is $1,400. That's the regular price. Right now, I think it's a Steam sale. It's not even the headset that's on sale. It's the sensors and the controllers. You can get that reduced. Anyway, it comes out to $1,100. I'm probably going to buy it. Like, I didn't tell myself I was going to buy anything.
This would be the next thing I want to save up money for. I know we have it here physically to experience, but I want this in my studio. I want this in my house. I want to.
You've never been like sold on VR until
I haven't
today,
until
right?
Beat Saber.
Yeah.
Because I.
But it's not just Beat Saber. I don't think I don't think you know what or you remember what a jump it was from the old one to this one. Like the old ones, like you could see a screen door in front of you.
Yeah.
The resolution was. The resolution's so good on this Vive Pro.
There's a lot of jitteriness to the other one, too.
Yeah.
This one seems to have a lot less of that.
I do remember that I enjoyed it, but I wasn't sold on it.
Right.
This now convinces me that I am sold because it's very fluid. It's very much what I wanted out of movement gaming. The only other movement gaming I had was with any experience with the Wii, but still wasn't sold. Like, I don't know. I mean, it kind of almost equated
to
the minimum.
So for $800 right now, you get the headset, which includes... you don't get the...
No.
Yeah, that's only
the headset.
Boxes
no,
or
dude.
The,
no.
How much do you have to pay for that?
The total is $1,100 right now because it's on sale.
Full setup, $1,100.
I would say... And you know, it's hard. This is all speculative or what do you call it? It depends who you are. I think it's worth it. Like, objectively, I think it's worth $1,100.
It's pretty incredible.
My favorite new thing in the world is showing old Mexican ladies, there's a lot of them in my house that pass through, VR, and they don't even know what VR is as a concept. They had never even heard of it. Uh-huh. So then you pull them in, and you show them the best thing in VR on the consumer side, period. It's world-changing for them. Dude, it's like...
It's San Junipero.
It's fan... Yes, San Junipero, exactly. I put them on the fucking roller coaster, and they are grabbing the sides of the seats. They're yelling. They got their hands up in the air. It's
grab
fan. I'm not talking about one old lady.
I'm talking about
multiple old Mexican old ladies, and they love it. It's fucking a game-changer, Bobby.
Oh, my gosh.
Game-changer.
If tampons for clitorises don't exist yet. No, I think we need them now. I'm kidding.
I'm lost.
I have no idea.
Because they're so fucking excited. It's a
for a clitoris? I guess. All right.
Never mind. I don't know.
Everybody knows. Well, okay,
it's like Pinky in the Brain, where Pinky just says something totally random.
Not random.
That was pretty random.
Did you call me the brain, or is that you're calling yourself the brain?
I don't know who the brain is here, right. But
better Pinky than Chinky. Okay, so we're good. Let's move on.
All right, she's Asian.
So the Google Earth VR was pretty cool. So obviously, I remember showing Google Earth to someone like back in 2007 or something when it first came out, and people being like, "Whoa, that's where I grew up," and I remember this, and they tell me a story from like their childhood and shit. This is like that times 10. Like you're actually in the location. It's pretty impressive.
It's pretty sweet. Bobby was like, I was like, what's a cool place? And I was thinking he was going to say like Grand Canyon or Paris or something. And he's like, I want to go to my grandma's house. And the beautiful thing was he didn't know the address. He just knew the city and maybe a street name. and within with yeah, those two things,
one word in the street name.
Yeah. Yeah, and that with that he was, it was enough to get like a general area, and then from there he got it from what do you call it, like just remembering as you saw. Mm-hmm. Oh, the train tracks are right there. He was this close to the train tracks. This is my grandma's house right here. And then you go down to the street view, and then you see the front of the lawn. Mm-hmm. It's pretty.
Yeah, you can go anywhere in the world, literally.
Yeah, literally it's anywhere in the world. And Bobby, of course, you weren't able to go into the
backyard
or the front or the house itself.
Yeah, you can't go in there.
But if you go into like New York, let's say like a famous building in New York, you can go in there.
Oh wow!
Can you imagine VR with Google Maps? Having someone put on a headset and you telling a story about your childhood?
Yeah, I think
that would be amazing.
I think you could probably build something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's somebody that like put this is before VR. There, I remember somebody put music and animation to Google Earth, and you could just put in your like where you grew up, and it would be a shadow of somebody running through your neighborhood, and you're like, oh shit, that could have been me. Do you guys, none of you guys did this?
No.
It was pretty cool. Anyway, but this is way, way, way better. You can fly like Iron Man around the world at your whim. You can fly straight up. You can, it's amazing. You can go all the way
through VR, or are we talking about Google Maps?
In VR. Well, it's a combination of the two.
This exists? How did
this
I miss
is what
this?
We're reviewing.
I know. I thought Bobby was just talking about Google Maps. I didn't know it was actually VR.
Yeah,
and
VR.
Google Maps.
Yeah,
he that's came over. Really cool.
Not today. He was here over here last week, and he was playing it. It's fucking sweet.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. Great. It's great for directions too. I'd imagine, like if you're going to visit somewhere, if you're trying to find your way somewhere, like you're just literally standing right there. Now there are a lot of features that the VR version doesn't seem to have just yet. I'm sure they'll have some form of it in time, because with Google Earth, you can do quite a bit with that.
Like what, Bobby?
Like all different layers that you can see. Like, what else? You can conduct tours, so you can
set
different waypoints. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's all in there. You just, where they dropped the ball was the controls. The Google Earth people aren't video game players. They don't know what's intuitive. They dropped the ball on that. What you can do is amazing. Getting able to do it is the hard part. But if you have a little bit of patience, I'm telling you, it's fucking awesome. And it's free.
That's pretty cool.
It might be one of the best things on there, and it's free.
I think a VR tour would be a lot of fun. If instead of actual video games, they offered a VR tour,
yeah,
almost like showcasing a movie, just little 10, 15, 20 minute VR tours around the world.
Yeah.
That could be a video game itself. That would be amazing.
It's already there.
It is?
It's all
Google's. It's an actual tour video game?
Yes. So you just be like, I want to go see
to Venice.
The Louvre. The Venice, yeah. And it's a pre-set up thing you just experience, and it flies you through, and you just experience everything like being
in
Venice.
That's really cool.
It's all there, and it's free.
I need to try that out, because I'm turning 30 this year, and I'm looking to travel for my 30th, and maybe that'll help convince me.
It's almost the other way around for me, because like, so I was in Paris, and I went to the Louvre, and I went to Champs-Élysées, and I saw the Arc de Triomphe, the anyway, I did it in VR, and I was like, why would I want to go there? I just experienced almost the same thing for free in 5 minutes. Like,
yeah, but see, I have my eyes set on New Zealand once upon a, well, category for later. And that's, and in New Zealand, there's, I forgot what the name of the town was, but it's virtually the adrenaline capital of the world. And that's what I wanted to experience. I wanted to, you know, go bungee jumping, do some deep sea
they
jumping,
have all that?
Do some amazing, yes, they have it all. Some great hiking. Like, and New Zealand obviously is the place where they filmed Lord of the Rings. So it's a very
beautiful,
vast and green country. So, yeah, maybe if I can't experience it, IRL, VR it is.
Yeah, for sure. You got to try it out.
Yeah. Now, what I was really impressed with, I mentioned this last week, but puzzle games seem to be a very good fit for VR. And there are two puzzle games that I tried out, the Rick and Morty one, and also one called Accounting, which is by the same people. And I feel like this is just such a natural fit for VR.
But you hadn't thought of that earlier, correct?
Like, yeah, I don't think that really dawned on me before. But the problem with puzzle games is once you figure it out, it kind of loses all its fun. You can't replay a game, but it is very fun for that first playthrough. So the Rick and Morty game, that one, I didn't.
It was a lot of fun to watch you play that game as well.
Yeah, try and like figure it out.
It's different too, Bobby. I got to say this. Like, see, everything that I bought is half off what I paid for it. But anyway, like, I got to play it by myself in the garage, nobody around, like, running around, just, like, let my mind wander, right? Mm-hmm. But you had me there, like, yeah, coaching, which I think took away from it. It's more of a...
Mm-hmm. Immersion type of...
Yeah, like, it took Bobby 20 minutes to do what it took me 2 hours to do or something like that, you know, because I was just poking and prodding and whatever. But I had a great time with it. I think I had a better time.
I'm so sorry. I love Rick and Morty so much.
It's got all the references from the game. Yeah, exactly. In this type of environment, like, we didn't have a whole lot of time. So obviously I was kind of getting through it pretty quickly, but I did really want to just like hang out in this world and pick stuff up and throw things and test interactions, things like that. I mean, that's just such a big part of a VR game.
And you are playing as Morty, correct? In Rick's garage.
You're a clone of Morty.
How much did you owe this? How much did you like it overall, Bobby? Like 1 to 10?
This was probably my favorite VR thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But you won't rank it.
And it's called Virtual Reality.
8.2.
That's 8.2. A super safe bait. He means 10, guys.
Yeah, accounting was good,
too. We should have a subsection called the 82 Game of the Week.
They're all 82s.
They're all 82. All games, yeah.
So, now, accounting was made by the same people, Justin Roiland, who make the Rick and Morty game. It's not Rick and Morty themed, but it is another puzzle game.
Same voice actor.
Yeah, same voice acting. Justin Roiland, who's the other guy?
This is a lot more extreme. It's very, like, sick, and it gets kind of...
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
It's gross.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a little disturbing.
But it's free.
Well, when you awesome. Think about the word itself, accounting, just makes you assume it's the most...
Mundane,
tedious.
Dan Harmon. There we go. Thank you, chat. Yeah. Yeah, but this was good. I like this one, too. And the puzzles were pretty creative. Yeah, it was good. Accounting, definitely check that one out if you have VR. But what about Rec Room? So one of the things that I always wanted from VR was a good social experience. And Rec Room was one that a lot of people had mentioned as the best. There's Chat VR, which I feel like has a reputation now. But Rec Room is one that I get recommended all the time.
It's funny.
And that's the one that Emilio said is an amazing VR title.
Yeah, I feel like it's funny because like you... There's different ways you can go about things, right? You can go and you could be 4chan, where you just let people do whatever the fuck they want, anytime they want, and it doesn't matter because nobody knows who anybody is. That's VR chat, I feel like. Or you could be Reddit, where it could be all the energy of the internet, but it's controlled and there are rules, and it makes everybody be fun, or like... It ends up being a better experience because there are rules.
You know what I like about Reddit, though? Reddit is just filtered.
I'm saying that it's better.
Reddit, by the community, is filtered for quality.
And that's what I'm saying. That's exactly the point that I'm trying to make.
Okay.
Like, Rec Room is Reddit for VR chat, I guess.
Okay.
You choose what you look like from hundreds of options, and then you go in, and you can do basically whatever the fuck you want. You can play table tennis. You can play laser tag. You can play pinball. You can play whatever. It's like real life. But
so there's no microphone on
so
the
it's like an,
headset, though. So
is it an instant
are people
party?
Communicating, talking to each other?
You can. I have a mic. You know, the mic that I use is enough to pick up on my voice at distance. So that's enough to play it there. One thing I found funny about this is like you interact with the interface by looking at your watch. With a lot of VR games do this.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah. And it's natural. It just works, right? It's one of these things that just works. But it's so funny because you can be in the middle of some sort of match I was crushing this guy at table tennis. Mm-hmm. And then I see him look at his watch and then he disappears. And I'm like,
he just rage quit on you?
Yeah, he rage quit on me. I thought it was funny.
He bored him, Emilio. So he was just like, bye.
No, he just,
I'm going to go get another drink. Yeah. Pardon me. It's just like showing up at a party. And when the person that you think, you know, you hit it off with realizes that they lost their best friend and needs to go find her, even though they came to the party alone. That's what happened to you.
Pretty much nothing like that. I don't even know. I have no idea what you just talked about. It's kind of like
Pinky in the Brain. Yeah.
No, come on.
Someone in chat.
Invasion Tactics. Is saying that
the Vibe does have a mic built into it.
What?
He's saying that it has a mic built into it. Let me take a look here.
Not to my knowledge, but I haven't activated if it has one. It's definitely picking up from the other one. I mean, I haven't said it.
Well, here, this is, by the way, I know this is a huge callback, but the Steam old school message notification sound. Do you remember that?
Vaguely remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Basically, when anyone would text you, those are the noises that you heard.
Very metallic. And the whole thing was metallic. I remember it was like gunmetal.
Yeah. It was like an army green.
Army green. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Waltz of the Wizard was a game that you had played a long time ago on VR. Kind of liked it.
Yeah.
Saw some potential in it, but you've recently played it again.
Yeah. Originally, you couldn't move around. You're a high-level wizard.
I think you played it on the Oculus, which didn't have the movement.
And I loved it then. And now it's gone leaps and bounds better. And it's free. I think there's a free game, Bobby. Can you confirm?
Yeah, it was free.
Fuck. This might be the best. Well, between this and Rec Room. Anyway, you're sitting at an altar of a high-level wizard. And it pretty much puts you in a position where, like, that's who you are. So just fuck around in your laboratory.
Yeah, you're fucking Ganondorf slash... Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do a bunch of different spells and feel powerful. It makes you feel like a fucking wizard. It's awesome. I can't say so much about like a free game as much as this one. This one's really, really, really cool. It has a lot more to it than you might think it does at the beginning because you don't see much. You couldn't even walk in the first iteration that I played, and now you can teleport around the room. It's great.
Is this game fully launched, or is it still early access?
I don't think they even fucked with any of that because it's free.
Oh, they're just like
we're just going to keep working on it. Yeah.
Is there any sort of story to it or goals or missions?
Nope.
You're
having fun with physics and magic, and that's all that is to it.
It's like Mickey Mouse and Fantasia.
Yeah. Thinking the same
thing. It's one of my favorite
games. Could you murder a broom or two? I mean...
There are brooms, and you can murder them.
Yeah, awesome.
Dun-dun-dun.
All right, so I think that wraps it up for everything we've been playing this week. Are we ready to get into some news?
Yep, they're all your stories, right?
Yeah.
Great.
I think we've talked about some of these. So first up, Friday the 13th, production is getting shut down on this game. So this game was... it was announced a long time ago. It was in development for a long time. I remember when it was in beta, I was watching a lot of streams. It looked very similar to Dead by Daylight, where you have one serial killer on the loose and a couple of survivors. Survivors have win conditions. The killer's obviously trying to kill them and prevent them from escaping.
Yeah.
I think there might have been some copyright issues with this game, but I don't think that's why it shut down.
I think what ends up happening is if there's two games in a certain genre that come out at the same time and one is better than the other, one's just going to bury the other one. And that's what happened. Dead by Daylight is a superior game. I haven't played either one.
Friday the 13th had come out, I don't think it would have done very well.
Yeah. And that's what happened.
Yep.
I think. There's just a better choice that's out there. So
yeah. I remember seeing gameplay, and it wasn't enough to sell me on actually purchasing the game. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of people who probably have this as their base game to play when they're looking to play multiplayer co-op versus. So I think it's a good alternative to those who had a lot of faith in Evolve, probably.
Yeah, maybe. And like horror games.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's going to miss this game too much. Certainly not me.
Yeah, Dead by Daylight is like people love that game.
Yeah. Next up. So Red Dead Redemption 2, the PC, temporarily appears on Rockstar LinkedIn profile. So someone who had worked for Rockstar, he had a LinkedIn profile, and he listed Red Dead Redemption 2 as...
a PC game.
Yeah, one of his credits, you know, like something he's worked on. And yeah, he listed Xbox One, PS4, and PC. It could have been a typo. He could have realized... He removed it since then, but it could have just been a typo.
Could have easily been an over-elaboration because, I mean, what else shows up on resumes outside of that?
Yeah.
Everybody's lying on resumes.
So, I don't know. It's definitely not any sort of confirmation there.
Well,
but
was it Grand Theft Auto 5 that we waited a year?
Yeah, it was like over a year. Until
that's my guess. PC. That's my guess. We're going to wait a year and then we'll get Red Dead.
I don't mind the wait.
Shitty first-person view.
I want to play both, but I don't mind the wait.
Are you guys excited about Red Dead 2?
I am.
I never played the
first
one.
I am so excited. So,
but I don't know. Knowing what you know from the outside, Bobby, is it a thing
I don't know. I was just talking to someone about this on stream the other day. Since I never played the first one, it just kind of seems like one of those things, like everybody really liked the original one, but the landscape of gaming has changed so much that the sequel coming out at
Bobby,
this point may not.
If you say you're going to get through Gun, you're going to like Red Dead because Red Dead is so much more than what Gun is. I know you're not. That's the thing. I know
you continue
you're not
to play
Gun,
these bullshit
but
titles.
But you say you're going
to
actually beat
the game. Right?
You're going to actually, you beat Prey. You say you're going to beat Gun. Play Red Dead. You will like it. You will enjoy it. Red Dead to me was the equivalent of Grand Theft Auto in terms of storytelling, immersion, and overall just fun and freedom. I feel like in Red Dead, it did a really good job at giving your character independence.
Oh yeah, I still got to play Bully. Recycled was
Bully is also fun.
Yeah, that,
Bobby, you're
I'd rather play that than
you're not swallowing when I'm spitting. What I'm saying is like,
I don't like
are you excited? Are you excited about a Western version, a Western more serious version of GTA?
No, because the GTA format does not excite me. I talked about LA Noire a couple months ago. That was GTA formula with
LA Noire was nothing like GTA.
Not
it was...
LA Noire. What am I talking about?
Mafia?
Mafia, yes.
Two.
Okay. Yeah, Mafia 2. So it's basically GTA. I just don't like the GTA formula. It doesn't matter what skin you put on it.
Except for the one that was in the 80s, Vice City. You love that game.
Vice City was
I
my
tried
favorite
to
GTA.
Like that game.
You didn't like it?
All right. Yeah, let's move on because we're just fighting.
All right. Next up, World of Warcraft was free to play this weekend. I think this is the first time they've ever done this. So,
oh, really?
I don't feel like, well, whatever. I feel like they did it. Anyway, it's a perfect time for me to pee.
Yeah. So I installed it. This seems really
I would play World of Warcraft free to play just to do the beginning area and then just throw it away after that.
That's kind of what I did. Like I installed it 40 gigs for World of Warcraft. Like it's free for a weekend. You're going to download 40 gigs for 2 to 3 days.
It's going to be tough, especially considering my computer can't handle anything more than my SSD.
It seems a little weird. It seems too short for that. But I did install it. I played a little bit. It just didn't catch me. I've already pre-purchased Battle for Azeroth. So, I mean, I'm going to be playing it eventually. But it's, I don't know. I can't really decide when World of Warcraft is going to strike me and I'm going to get into
That's
it.
That's the
it's
thing. If it didn't necessarily capture you, I think it was a very good move on behalf of Blizzard to capture those it could. The way I see it, they're... Maybe not so much. The potential was there for a brand new audiences that would never otherwise have signed up for a subscription and or paid full price for a game that is basically ancient. It's so old. And then it also would pull in pre-existing users of the game and maybe just, you know, hit that, you know, nostalgic chord just right to have them sign up even for a couple months. And, or maybe if it's been so long since I've been back, myself included, that they see some new appeal to the game. All this is, I think, is a smart move from Blizzard to capture or recapture a little bit more of an audience that wasn't there before.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely trying to get more people playing the game and they've always had that 10-day free trial or 2-week free trial.
But you still have to put in a credit card and all the, of that information. Whereas I feel possibly with the free weekend, you just jump in.
Probably. Are you sure? I just tried to do it, and I found that my entire Blizzard account has been hacked and gone. And I didn't notice because I don't play any Blizzard games.
Yeah.
And so I have to try to recover it.
My WoW account, my character, for... I don't remember what happened with Blizzard, but they started to attach your character to a BNet account. And I was on WoW before they started doing that. And then I had quit WoW. So this was around Wrath of the Lich King era.
It didn't make the jump?
My brother basically took my account since he was still using it because I had a very valuable character. So he put my account on his BNet account. So technically he owns my WoW account. Mm. And even though I do have a separate Battle.net account, there was no way to attach the two beforehand. I don't remember exactly. It was so long ago. I don't remember how they did it, but that's what my brother did. He stole my, he didn't steal it, but he inherited my WoW character.
I tried to find my old WoW character. It's gone. It's completely gone.
I could still get my character back because when we reached out to Blizzard, they said I could have her back. So as long as we both gave Blizzard a photocopy of our IDs saying, hey, this is actually my sibling who has my account. Can I please get repossession of my WoW character?
Trying to get my account back. That's what they asked me for too. Yeah. Photo ID.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Hmm. Yeah.
Minnie, go fuck yourself, dude. He's making fun of my haircut. Trying to grow my hair out.
Your hair looks fine. I like long hair. It looks good. He's Don't worry
jerk.
About it.
He's a jerk. I'm super cool. It hurts my feelings.
All right. Next up, Discord adds a new Steam-like games tab hub. We were talking about this earlier. So Discord has added this tab where you click on games and I don't know. We covered all this.
It's a redistribution of information. Like you could see all this on the right side, kind of, but now it's all kind of like, I feel like playing Deep Rock Galactic, and it'll already be at the top because Discord knows what you've been playing, and you could just, you don't even have to
it's
click.
A great
you
way
just
to see, what your friends are playing.
Yeah, you can
like,
see what they're
what
playing.
What are the popular games?
What's popular? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm. I just noticed this the other day. I've started using it a lot more now.
Yeah, it's a great addition. Great, great addition, especially since Bobby's on vacation. He can play actual video games from now.
Yep.
I'm disgusted by how much HOTS you're playing on your vacation, by the way. I wish you were.
Dude, I started playing ranked in HOTS, and I was like, holy shit, man. I have fallen behind. Like, I need to improve so much. I am not
mechanically,
satisfied.
You mean? Because I think...
Yeah, like mechanically, like everything.
Meta, you're good.
Yeah, but I have not been playing enough, and I feel it. Like, I don't feel like I'm up to par. I'm not playing as good as I've been in the past.
Are you countering my attack on your HOTS play with, I need more HOTS play? Is that what just happened?
Exactly. Dude, that's why I've been playing. Like, everyone's like, oh, we should play this, we should play that. I'm like, dude, I need to practice. Like, and people want to play HOTS with me, which I'm always down for, but, like, I really need to get, like, quality games. So I've been playing a lot more ranked, which is, I don't know, it's stressful playing ranked, but I've been handling it pretty well. The quality of games are so much better. So much better in ranked.
That's
Holy
good.
Shit.
I would prefer that, too. And it's almost, when I was playing MOBAs, I didn't play ranked, but I would be very selective about the team I was going in. It was very rare that I went in with randoms. Mm. I almost made sure the quality of player that I went in, you know, it was preset up beforehand.
You like to get carried.
Gotta have that carry. All
right. I do well. I play well with carries because I carry my own weight. Thank you very much.
I wanted to talk about our new keyboard that we got here in the studio. So I'm a big fan of the Logitech K750. This is a wireless keyboard.
And it's paper thin.
It's very thin.
It's almost flush with the table.
It's got little kickstands underneath it so you can prop it up a little bit if you want. I use the same one at work with a Mac, and I've had it for years. The big selling point with this is that it's a solar keyboard. It has little solar panels on it, so you never need to charge it.
It does look like a giant calculator.
It works off regular light. It doesn't have to be...
Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be sunlight.
Wow.
Yeah. And
like these old calculators.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like the calculators.
Nice.
Yeah, so great keyboard.
It's a good looking keyboard too, I gotta say.
Yeah, but if you play deep into the night or very late into the night.
This is not a gaming keyboard, by the way. Don't,
oh, okay.
Don't get this for gaming.
I was gonna say.
This is an office keyboard.
Yeah. I was like, I would not want to rely on solar panels for any of my.
So if you're a professional podcaster, this is the shit for you.
Like I said, I use this at work. years, literally 4 years now, never had it run out of battery.
Nice. Mm. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
This is a super dark room, though. Like, it's dark all
It's
going
to be dark for a long time. Yeah. So, but I think the light that it gets now, it's going to be able to use it.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes in here.
If not, you could probably supercharge it just by throwing it outdoors for 5 minutes because we are in San Diego, after all.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Time for listener questions.
Yeah, that you just deleted it all.
Well, someone put them in the wrong spot.
Oh, yeah. That would be my drunk ass.
All right. First question coming from Shadow Master. He asks, what was your first online gaming experience like?
For me, I remember the reason that I bought a PC is because I've told this story before, but I used to play Magic at a place, and mm-hmm. that place was called A Place to Play, and that was just for
back in your Coke bottle glasses days, correct?
No, post Coke bottle, party boy at that point.
Okay.
Long bangs, swinging my hair around, super
basically
sexy.
A mini Del Macho era.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes, exactly, and. So anyway, I'd see people playing two games. It was EverQuest and Tribes. And I was like, I need to do whatever I had to do in my life to get this in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Gateway Computers and I was like, I need a gaming.
Wait, Gateway was an actual computer back then that they sold at Best Buy with the cow?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they were their own company as well. You can call Gateway.
Yeah. Are you talking Gateway the PC?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, or HP Gateway or computers, Toshiba. Like something that was getting you into.
No. I'm
talking about the product.
Oh, you're not talking about that particular brand, Gateway,
No.
Because I had a Gateway computer.
No, I'm calling. Okay. I'm talking about the product. Gee, stop talking, please. I'm going to try to get through the story.
Keep going.
I called Gateway Computers, and
Okay.
Hey, guys, right. I need a gaming computer. And they're like, we can help you with that. But at the time, they weren't making gaming computers.
Yeah, of course.
They lied to me. And they charged me $2,500 for, like, a dog shit. Well, it was a good computer. It was their top of the line.
They knew you had mommy and daddy's credit cards, so they were like.
It's my own money, actually.
Oh,
thank
really?
You very much.
Oh.
Yes.
Don't worry. I only like my own money is the only money I had growing up because sure as hell, you know, I was probably paying my parents' debts growing up. There was no money.
And I get this computer and I was able to run things, but not like it wasn't like something somebody had built themselves, like something Bobby would have had at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I had to buy a video card after $2,400. I had to buy a video card. And I did because it wasn't a gaming computer. They didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so my first online experience was EverQuest. But it didn't feel like my first, like, oh, I'm going online. I don't know these people. Because mm-hmm. I already had a group of people from real life that I was joining. And luckily, mm-hmm. those people were amazing.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. Yep.
So that was your gateway into online gaming.
I am not even going to give that any credit. I'm going to look at Bobby and wait for him to speak.
Bobby, I want to hear yours because I honestly don't know yours.
Well, someone's mentioning Dwango in the chat. You guys remember that?
Dwango.
Doom. No. That's some old school shit.
I don't remember.
I don't really remember my first online experience. Like, I remember playing games like Command & Conquer and it being such a pain in the ass to set up a multiplayer game where we could all play. I will talk about a memorable online experience from my childhood. I don't know if it was my first one, but there was a place called The Zone. It was a website, like maybe thezone.net or zone.net.
I know that website.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember it.
Where you went to play multiplayer games.
I remember it.
So whatever game you had, this was like a website that would just do the connecting.
It was like
you.
Flash. It was Flash gaming with other people online. No?
Well, I mean, they had one game that they made themselves. It was called Ants, which actually wasn't that bad. It was
amazing you remember this.
Yeah. No,
but
I remember
this
now
is
that
where
Bobby
I played a lot of Jedi Knight. A lot of Rainbow Six, the original one. I would go on there all the time just to play online games. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
It was so difficult back then. Like, there were so many connectivity issues, and the Zone was the only thing that made it easier. It kind of did a little of the middleman work for you.
You know, I probably had previous online gaming experiences, but the ones I remember so vividly is the original Diablo. It was either that or CS 1.5, but I wouldn't doubt if it was Diablo first before CS. When it came to the original Diablo, all I remember doing is cloning my money nonstop and duplicating items and just cheating. My first online experience was me hacking the fuck out of it. I remember playing Diablo and my big brother and I, we, outside of duplicating items, which is one of my, you know, one of my first online memories, is also downloading hacks and making my character a PvP buff. Because before I got those hacks, I would get mutilated whenever I went into a dungeon with a online stranger, because they would have hacks and they'd be like, yeah, let me help you out. Let's go ahead and, you know, let's go kill the butcher. But as soon as I get you in the dungeon, it's a rape fest all over the place. So needless to say, my only defense against these hackers was to hack even harder than them. So, and I remember, and I do recall one of the, I was getting lured into a dungeon, like the whole carrot on a pole into the dungeon. You know, this is a friendly person, you know, they've got candy in the white van. Okay. I'm down for it. Let's go. And as soon as they get me in the dungeon, they start initiating PvP, and I'm like, oh fuck no, this is not happening. So I initiate back, and then I kill them within a half a second after they try to kill me. And then, you know, and then I just started collecting ears. I started collecting, and it's not me. I'm not the one. I wasn't the bait and switch. But as soon as somebody tried to do it with me, I basically outdid them, and that's how I collected. That's my very first taste of PvP. All of those delicious Diablo ears of people trying to take advantage of me, but I ended up taking advantage of them. So that was my first experience in online gaming, and it kind of shows how cruel the online gaming world is, but hilarious at the same time. Needless to say, outside of that CS 1.5, it was just me being on the microphone and making a lot of good friends, and of course getting trolled all the time, but you know, making light of it and yeah, finding lifetime friends out of it. So online gaming has been an amazing experience. Not necessarily being like, you know, a lot of trolling, like trolling 101 from the very beginning. Before trolling was even a coined term, that's all I was fucking dealing with since going on the internet. So, yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah. But it's funny because it's like, nonetheless, it still sold me on online gaming. I wasn't like, oh, fuck this, I'm going to go, you know, lick my wounds and never game online again. I just, you know, it's since then, it's what
I think you have to learn to deal with that pretty quick.
Yeah, you do.
For me, it was always something. I mean, obviously, I was annoyed by a lot of that stuff, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I was like, I really want to play online, so I'm willing to deal with it and tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder, like, now looking back, that was that's your perspective, but going into it, that's not really your perspective. Like, oh, I'm just going to tolerate this so I can play people online. It's more like, I feel, it's more like, God, these people are really mean. I'm just going to play my game. I guess it's tolerating.
Well, the internet's big enough where you can literally just, it's like dirt off your shoulder and on to the next one. Yeah. Literally. If you had a really bad game, like a salty game, the very next game could be your best game ever. That's the beauty of online gaming.
In case you're wondering why it took me so long, I actually didn't go pee. Sam brought me a Cheesecake Factory cheesecake.
Yummy!
That has everything that has peanut butter in it. So there's Reese's, there's Kit Kat, it doesn't have...
I love Cheesecake Factory
Butterfinger. Cheesecakes. It's just layered. It's
peanut
amazing.
Lovers?
Yeah.
Amazing. Damn.
Amazing.
Your girlfriend's awesome. I love Sam.
No, Cheesecake Factory is amazing. She's just a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next question coming from Joshua Z28. Anyone going back to WoW for the new expansion? So like I said, I already pre-purchased it. I will probably go back, but it kind of comes at a weird time where I'm going to be going back to work. So I don't know how much I'm going to be able to get into it. I've thought about just leaving my WoW subscription open and dipping into it from time to time, but I don't know. I don't know. WoW is such an all or nothing thing for me that I'm very reluctant to get into it. And when I do, it's going to be a grind.
I have one very strong syllable for you, Joshua. No.
Yeah, you guys don't play WoW. You haven't touched it in a long time.
No, but no, I wanted to play like 3 weeks ago, and that's why I found out my account's been stolen.
Oh.
Because I hadn't installed even Overwatch in my new computer, and I was like, you know what? I want to play some WoW. And I found out it was all stolen.
Whenever I have free time, I always think of WoW. Like, retirement for me, like, I envision it in my head, me just, like, really getting into WoW at, like, 60 or 70 or 75 or whenever I'll be able to retire.
It's funny because I feel the same way. Like, I have Alzheimer's and dementia in my hereditary or whatever. Anyway, I'm prone to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm already forgetting shit. Anyway, I feel like, because we play video games, if I could play video games in my, like, old folks' home, I feel like it's going to keep me sharper than maybe my parents were.
There was actually an article about that at a Taiwanese or Filipino nursing home where people have Alzheimer's, and they're using Heroes of the Storm to, like, combat that. Because video games are known to do that.
That's a heavy game, dude.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And it's like old ladies playing it. And the website or the article was all in another language. I couldn't read it. Someone posted it in
Reddit. That's really badass.
The screenshots were like these old ladies playing the game and like seeming, it looked like they were enjoying it.
That seems like a troll. I don't believe it.
I believe it.
No, but I do think as a gamer, I feel, this is obviously, I'm an optimist. I feel like I'm going to be better off in my retirement than most. Don't you guys feel that?
Oh, like, absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like I have something to do. I can't tell you. I've known so many people that retire, people that I've worked with. They all retire, and then like I talk to them afterwards, like a year or two. They're at the Christmas party or whatever, and they're just like, so much time. I don't know what to do with my time. Like, dude, I know exactly what to do with my time.
Exactly. Yeah.
I cannot get enough time.
Yeah,
like, if I could buy time, if I could give up all my money to get more time, like I would spend $500,000 to get one more hour in the day. Like, I would go on a payment plan.
You don't have $500,000.
I got a credit card.
Oh, there we go. Boom.
That's funny.
All right. Let's see. Next up, Dwarfurious asks, do you ever do four-player versus games or mostly co-ops?
I don't even know what he means, but is this like a Smash Brothers type game? That's the only kind of
four-player. I don't think he's talking about a specific game. Yeah, I think he's talking about in general. Do you prefer versus games or co-op?
Four seems to be that magic number for co-op, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. I prefer four-player co-op, yes.
Yeah.
I love versus games.
I love versus games.
But I'll tell you what, party games, like, I hate playing, like, whenever we have a bunch of people over and we're like, oh, let's play all these games, you know, like Duck Game, and I hate those games because I'm bad at the controller and it's just like...
Well, there's always one person that's, dominating everyone else.
Well, Bobby, you're not bad at video games. You're actually pretty good at video games, but anything on a controller.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your skill goes down 30-40%.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't like those
Bobby,
games.
Bobby, did you ever used to get the N64 blisters from Mario Party?
No, I stopped playing consoles really when the whole joystick thing came out.
Oh.
D-pad. Like I use a D-pad when I can, but yeah, I never got the hang of the analog stick.
Have you guys ever been looking at something on Amazon and then go to sleep? And then wake up or go back to Amazon at some point and you're like, what the fuck was I looking at?
Has
that ever happened to you?
I'm very impulsive. I will buy whatever I'm looking at and then ship it to your house.
Oh, yeah. That's literally happening.
It was 3 a.m. in the morning when I was like, hey, Amelia, do you mind if I use your address?
What did you go with, by the way?
A mattress and a foundation. It was really
nice. What company
nice.
Did you go with?
I went through Wayfair and I went through eBay.
Oh, you made a combination.
Yeah, combination. Cool. Yes.
What was my point? Oh, because this happened to me. I go back to Amazon and I'm looking at Street Fighter fighting sticks. Like, the stick with the controller. Like, you're playing at the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, I'm going to buy Street Fighter V. I'm going to get competitive. I'm going to start playing.
Arcade quality makes a world of a difference.
Yeah.
When it comes to fighter sticks, when it comes to DDR pads, I never bought arcade quality fighter sticks, but I did buy arcade quality
And this
DDR
is one
pads.
Of those weird things where, like, you could be like, just look at the pros. What are the pros doing? Oh.
Equipment makes a big deal. A big deal.
Literally all the pros are playing on sticks. So
yeah, absolutely.
That must be
That's
the
how
best
it's meant
way.
To be played. Yeah. It's just like controller versus mouse and keyboard. Come on.
Shout out to Flying Hawaiian, who told me to train my dog to play dead only when I Hadouken him. I
thought Duncan,
that was Hadouken, and he plays dead?
No way.
That's
going to
be
so
awesome.
Cute.
I got to work. Give me 2 weeks.
You got to calm that boy down, because I was just standing there, and all of a sudden he was like...
He gut punches you every time.
Yeah, every time. Yeah. I came in using my purse as a shield. My purse is a laptop bag, so I just use it to cover the front portion of my body, and he was so confused. He didn't know what to do.
He's not attacking you.
No.
It's all love, but yeah. It's aggressive love.
Yeah, it's very aggressive at the crotch, at the lower body extremities.
I like to get aggressive in those areas as well. All right, moving on.
All right. Hey, Shadow Master stopped by. You missed your question, but happy birthday, by the way.
Yes, happy birthday, Shadow Master. Yeah. Happy birthday to you.
And he's got a birthday close to you, Emilio.
Yep.
I won't be here.
That's the only thing that we're close
in. I'm so sad.
All right, final question coming from Recycled. He says, I have played a little of the new Saliens game on Steam before realizing the odds of winning were so poor that the entire Reddit Salien subreddit expects none of their subscribers to actually win. Have any of you played it? And if so, do you feel you got played? Because I do. I took one look at that and I was like, nope.
So what is it? Like a slot machine? A lottery? What are we talking about here, Bobby? I have no idea.
I'm not too sure myself, and I didn't, like, I don't know.
I have a shit ton of fishy. I have a shit ton of cards. Should I send them to you? Are you still doing that?
No, just sell them.
Why would I sell them? I don't want $3.
Is it kind of the Cuphead of Steam right now? What's going on?
What is it?
It's a tower defense. That's what it says.
Does anyone in chat know what the fuck this Saliens game is? I'll get on Discord and you can tell us. We can have a live call-in. Explain to us what the fuck is going on.
According to this article, it says it's a defense tower game.
Yeah, a tower defense game. But there's some sort of raffle element to it.
So, lottery.
Yeah. And apparently people are just hacking it. Like, they always do this with these Steam games. They find some workaround or some script and they abuse it.
If your PC gaming podcasters can't figure out what the fuck it is, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
I think. Let's just move on.
Well, if anything with gambling and or lottery, no thanks.
If you can't tell what it is at first sight, just leave it alone.
Well, the other game that they did a couple years ago
Swipe Left.
Was a clicker game where you just click constantly.
Like the mayo?
You know, like
not the mayo. Clicker. What is it? Yeah, it's the mayo. What's that one mayonnaise game that the mayo
was talking about?
Yeah, the mayo? Is that what it was called?
I'm not even sure.
I hated that game.
All you did was click on a cup of mayonnaise the whole time.
Gee, that's the beginning of a genre. There's a clicker genre. You just click. Things happen.
Forget masturbating. There's clicker baiting.
It's these goddamn millennials.
Click baiting.
All right. I don't know. I just want to blame somebody.
Yeah. Mm. They don't even
make it
that obvious.
Makes me want to rip a man bun off.
And the Norwegians.
What?
It's a... I
am mayo. That's the name of the...
Yeah. I am mayo.
Yeah, okay. The clicker
terrible,
game.
Terrible.
I thought Clown Lucian was saying he was mayo. Like, you're not mayo.
Should we wrap this bitch up?
Yeah, yeah. We're at the end of the questions. All right. So this next week, what are we playing?
So it's funny that this keeps coming up. It depends on who you are on Steam, right? And you see different things. I keep forgetting about. Scroll down a little bit, Bobby. This is going to be my last purchase. On the Wizard of Legend. I still don't have it. Oh, so $13.59. I'm going to play it. Probably I'm going to try to play it with Sam and get back to you guys on a review on that.
So I will be playing a lot of board games this week. I'm leaving. Actually, by the time you hear this podcast, I will have been gone on vacation. Plane. I won't be back until July 5th, but my brothers are huge gamers as myself. We have enough computers laying around to do a legitimate LAN. So I'll tell you all about it when I get back.
Are you taking your rig? Or they have a rig for you?
They probably have something. If not, I have a friend
flying with a...
harass for their rig.
With a computer sucks. I would never do that. Oh, God.
I have done it before, but I'm not doing it this time.
Oh, another piece of shit first-person shooter.
Yeah, 2005.
Is that what you're going with? Is this your thing?
Oh, Bobby.
I'm probably going to start this after I beat Gun. Project Snowblind. Looks pretty good.
If you were going to build a robot to do everything just to upset me on a podcast, it'd be fucking Bobby. This is exactly what's going on. Anyway.
Oh, man.
Bobby, can you go back to the feature?
Page.
Yep. And then go down something with Wilson. I've never heard of that. I like the cover art. Let's see what this is.
CryEngine.
CryEngine. Good graphics, probably. where it's loading up.
Was it made in 2005?
Was it not even reviewed because it was so abstract that nobody knew what it was?
Right, they're taking a little while to get to the point.
Wilkin?
Looks like a... Whoa, that guy got
looks like a legitimate RPG. It's got character customization.
Looks like Diablo, right?
Got some
hack and slash RPG.
Yeah, all reviews are Baldur's mostly positive, Gate. But recent is mixed. Can we elaborate on that? This looks cool. I'm not turning away from this. It's not multiplayer. Okay. But, all right. Whatever.
I don't know.
I might
look into
out.
That later.
It's yeah. early access, so whatever your opinion of it, unless it's officially 1.0, it's not real, right?
It's well, CryEngine graphics on a hack and slash RPG. So.
Yeah, it could work. I mean, it looked good.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I'm actually going to get into Mankind Divided. That's what I want to play.
Yeah.
I think it's time.
I still have it installed. I'm going to uninstall it.
I think it's going to be the right combination of, like, it's going to be an RPG, but it's going to be fast-paced enough for me to enjoy. That's really what I'm looking for right now. Like, something that I can get into, but not something like The Witcher.
How cute is this?
Not that far.
How cute is this? Manny thinks he's going to be back next week. Not after your weekly review, my friend. So you installed The Witcher, but you're definitely not going to continue it.
Yeah, I've already uninstalled it.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. Was not feeling it. I don't have any reason for, like, getting into a game or not. Yeah. Like, if it grabs me, it grabs me.
After I come back from vacation, guys, it will be my year of gaming, I promise you.
And that's...
And you know how good my promises
back that
are.
Up. Things have happened that are going to make more gaming possible, I think.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway,
right, so what's going on?
End of the show. That's what's going on.
All right. Oh, I'm doing it?
Yep.
All right. It's for speaking for Bobby, G, and not Minnie. Definitely not Minnie. Fuck Minnie. And for myself, Steam Summer Sale titties. They have 10 lines. It's kind of weird, but they're still delectable. Bye, everybody.
I have an hour to play Beat Saber.
Should we do something after the episode, kind of like a Marvel movie, where there's like 30 seconds of like content? You know what I mean?
No.
All right, welcome everybody to another DL Gaming Podcast interview. We are here with Soren. He is the boss, or otherwise known as the captain over at Ghost Ship Games, who make Deep Rock Galactic. I think you've heard of... I don't know. We've been talking about that game for about 4 weeks straight now. And that's a long time for us, since we burned through games pretty quick. Thanks for joining me, Soren.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Cool, cool. How's life over in Denmark?
It's nice now. Less stressful than after we launched the game. That was intense.
I bet.
We are like... it went well. Let's relax a bit and do the thing.
For sure.
The game and have fun. Yeah.
For sure. I mean, I was looking at it just today, going over the patch notes, and that 9 out of 10 rating on Steam is very nice. You deserve it, for sure. But I'm just
Thank
saying...
You.
Yeah, it's
that
like...
That was actually the biggest surprise, I think, more than the sales.
Yeah.
Because we thought that... A four-player co-op game would for sure be a problematic thing on Steam with the reviews, because we can't really control people being annoying.
Right.
But a 9 out of 10, that's amazing. We're still amazed about that.
Well, you're amazing, and that's how you got that done, because I think it might have something to do with everybody having a job to do, and
yes.
Also, like, maybe... Because you can kind of go and do your own thing, but also come together when it's needed. So you kind of need every kind of gamer. I think it fills all the gaps, it seems to be. It's pretty great.
And that is really cool to hear, because and cool for us to see now. Because when we started out, we had like this that we wanted to do co-op first. So the co-op gaming, we wanted to take that as seriously as possible. So actually accomplishing that, I think it's that's really something we are very proud of.
Cool. And what was the inspiration behind sending dwarves to mine asteroids?
Yeah. So the original inspiration was a mix between Minecraft and Left 4 Dead. So the you know, in Minecraft, when you play with a friend there on your own server and you find this big cave and you dive down into it and you just start exploring,
right.
And you find lava and you die. And we thought that was really cool, and we just wanted some guns in there.
of course.
So then we took the Left 4 Dead, kind of the horde mode thingy with waves of monsters that you have to kill. But that shouldn't be the entire focus. We were very conscious about, to begin with, that it should be 50% exploration, 50% combat fighting.
And I think you're pretty close, because I love the sense of wonder that I've played, I don't know how, I mean, not hundreds of hours, but I've played a good amount of your game. And every once in a while, I still come across something that I'm like, wow. And I'll comment to the other players of like, guys, are you seeing this? Like, I know that we're busy, but have you taken a second to look at what's going on here? Like, it's beautiful sometimes, you know, even though it's dangerous, it's beautiful sometimes.
Yes, yes. I think I lost you for 2 seconds or something on the connection, but
gotcha.
We all know.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was something that developed. When we started out, we had very humble. We were like not very ambitious on what we thought we could achieve on the cave generation side. We took it very slowly, step by step. We actually started out with some more Minecraft kind of vistas. And all the technology, but then we took early on a stab at doing this, creating this mesh deformable terrain, and then coupled with the way we generate the cave, suddenly we start getting these amazing caves at the office, and we were like, okay, this is cool. We can do really cool stuff with this.
Would you say that was the, like, I always wonder when people are doing randomly generated stuff, how often the computer surprises you with something. I'm sure it surprises you the wrong way all the time, but like, what the hell is this thing? Who wrote this? But how often ever did you see something like, wow, that's a very interesting interpretation that the computer took there?
Yeah, so it happens most often.
Test, test, test. Soren, I think I lost you. Test.
Generated. And that's the idea is, what we do is that we actually hand craft the caves, in the sense that the rooms kind of like come into a cave room, and then it have certain coal or cylinder or like 3D elements that we carve out.
Okay.
And then we add a lot of randomness to that. But that whole setup is designed. We have a pool of these cave rooms, like we have hundreds of them. And then we let the computer put them together. We have designated some of them to be in the beginning, some in the middle, some in the end. But what can then happen is that some of them can be quite large, and they can intersect. And when they start to intersect, new rooms, of course, gets created. And that's when we, as developers, gets very surprised, because then it becomes completely new, big caves that we have never seen before.
Right.
So it is a mix. So we have some control, and without that control, it would be very difficult
chaos
for us to design this.
Yeah, so you guys make the Lego blocks, but every once in a while, it's put together in something beautiful or something unexpected. That's pretty nice.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Do you get to play much? And if you do, can you enjoy it? Or are you always looking at the design side of it? Are you always looking at the matrix of it?
No, we enjoy it a lot. We play each day almost. We have to, because there's so much going in all the time in the game. So even though we have a on Discord here or other places, a lot of players that help us test the game, it's very much needed for us to constantly play. And it's still fun. Also because we're adding new stuff. So there's always like, oh, I've never seen that before. So we constantly get that as well. Also bugs, of course, not the ones where you can shoot.
Yeah, speaking of the Discord, you have a great community on there. Well,
a big community. I haven't been on there too long to see how helpful they are, but it seems like it's a great place to source ideas. Has it been a good tool for you?
I think that is a huge part of the success of the game. We started out early on, like 6 months into development, we started giving out the alpha versions of the game, and building up the community was a goal for us. And I think
I lost them again. Darn it.
This call has proven to be a huge part of our community and a way for us to lift this game. Great. So yes, the community, the feedback on, of course we're also listening to ideas and bouncing ideas, but we also have a lot of ideas ourselves. It's more like a filter where right. we make sure that, okay, so a lot of other players in the community have the same ideas as us. It's probably good.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, good. Because I have 75 new ideas for you. No, I'm kidding.
where you can write it in the suggestion channel with the thousands of other ideas.
So what's the immediate next thing you're working on? And also, what's the long-term goal?
So we just delivered a big media update, and that was the first like larger update in a while. Initially, we delivered a lot of smaller updates to quickly meet the demands of the players, especially on quality of life issues.
Yeah.
Now we had a big update with new mission and new enemy and a new perk system, we call it, and we will continue now with some bigger updates in that vein.
By the way, that new mission is so hard. Like,
oh yeah,
yeah, the one, the one where you protect the your space, your pod, right?
Yeah,
that one. Yeah, jeez, I think we went played through like 4 or 5 before we actually finished one, and the other ones
released a hotfix yesterday to lower the difficulty.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
we were like, what is going on? We were talking about each other, and we're like, you know, we did everything else. Do we actually suck? And we thought we were good. Were the other modes just to build up our confidence, just so they could squash us down? But cool. And then long term, what do you see for the game?
So we did a survey in the beginning. They're still built into the game partly, where we on which elements of the game was most needed to for us to build on. Of course, everybody just want more content of what is there, more enemies, right. more caves, more yep. missions. That's kind of easy in a sense. That's just delivering more content. But the more hard parts are the underlying systems. So the perk system that we added this time was an example of one of the more bigger underlying systems that we now added. And we want to do more of those. So especially on the character development side, so upgrading your character and the character classes, and that is a first step that you see in the game right now. So we'll take a stab at doing a more advanced, a more complex, or more interesting version of that. So what we really want is to start some discussions between players on kind of not necessarily character builds, but in that direction, right? So you discuss a bit of what is actually best with this character.
Right. So you maybe a branching path for different types of drillers and different types of scouts?
One example of how to solve that.
Yeah.
So the goal is to give more players in building the characters.
If I did have one question, I think personally, I was wondering if you would ever put something in the game to customize your own space station, so when you're hosting the game, people could come in and like see something, you know, how you've maybe put a queen's head on the wall or something like that.
Yeah, that was something we talked quite a lot about before we released the game. It's not something we have kind of said we'll never do, but it's been lowered on priorities.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
See, as such a super high demand for that yet. I think people want to us to improve on the actual missions and characters first, from the surveys. And I think that makes sense for a while.
Yeah, for sure.
We do have a lot of ideas with the space rig, and we did also initially had these customization ideas. There are some issues on how to do that with the way we host the game and peer to peer, and yeah, obviously that would be the host that you will then see. But yeah, it's there's some tricky things there that we'll need to solve. I think we want to expand the space rig a bit more before we do the customization part.
Yeah, there's a whole part where I got yelled at for climbing up to at the very beginning.
Yeah.
and it looks like at the very, very top, there's a hole that yes. I feel like there must be an Easter egg up there, but you don't have to say.
I don't have to say no, but I can say that my six-year-old son, he found his way into it.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. Okay. Guess what I'm doing all day tomorrow? That's pretty cool. Let's see. Oh, I have a special request from somebody from your Discord. He says, when will the double plasma flame throwing drills be ready? You may be able
that
to.
That must be Trafarius.
Yeah, I think that's who that is. He didn't want me to name him, but I figured you'd probably know who that was.
Yeah, yeah. No, so Trafarius has been a supporter of the game from the very beginning. We got in contact with him very early, and he's been these fans that you can never be thankful enough to have.
For sure. I'll tell you what, every time we streamed that game, any one of us, he was in the chat and like getting the chat going and answering questions, and that was pretty good. So yeah, it's great to have fans that way.
Yeah. But we still can't promise him his double plasma drilling thing. No matter he is to us.
That's funny because, he was telling me about it. And I was like, I don't think that works, man. And he's like, no, it's going to be awesome. And I was like, logically, I don't think. And no, he's like, no. And then all caps, it's going to be awesome. anyway, so one big question for me, maybe you've answered this somewhere else, but what about completely new classes? Is that anything?
Yeah, so that is a thing that we have asked for it for the community if they wanted it. I think we have asked them to come up with ideas for it. We have ideas ourselves, and we're still debating how to do this because it's totally intertwined with this idea of doing more with the existing classes as well, because there are kind of different routes there. Where we could either do like a flat one where we go like, well, you can say horizontal, where there's just a lot of different classes and you choose a class, or we can go more vertical where each class has a lot more options, right?
Right.
And there's also a heavy middle. And that's the design that we are going into right now. And we'll take a step at. So I can't promise you either of these, but I can promise you something will happen here that will give you more.
Yeah, the good thing about
feel more classes in the game. Yeah,
going with the more options is good because people won't have to abandon all the work that they've put into their. You know, now that I have a level 25 driller or whatever, maybe I could just go and use that and continue to work on my driller or whatever, and not have
sure,
to.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's another concern right now in this Steam early access thing that we also are learning how to handle. The people are actually investing a lot of time in the game right now, and we are changing some fundamental stuff and how to handle that. But I think it's going fine. There will always be people that are a little bit you took away this thing.
Right.
So glad for that. But that's how it is in this space.
The reason our podcast is so unprofessional is because we decided one day you can't make everybody happy, so we don't even try to make one person happy. We just do whatever we want. It seems to work for us.
That is exactly what we started out with this game as well.
Yeah.
We said, okay, let's throw out any ideas of business and marketing or anything. Let's just start with building a game we really like to play.
Yeah. I'm going to lose you there.
On looking seriously, okay, is there actually a market for this? And there was. So that was lucky.
Yeah, congratulations on making a runaway hit. I love it. It's great. Everybody I talk to, I mean, I'm sure you've heard it a million times already, but there's just a feeling of fun.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times that it seems like such a weird thing to miss in a game, but that should be number one rule. And so many games, they'll throw so much stuff at you and then they forget the game or they forget the fun out of it.
Yes. I think what we also did right, that we didn't put down any type of specific history or named character or anything like that. We just took the setting and said we just took this, you're working for Deep Rock Galactic, and then we ran with that idea.
It's so funny that
a lot of freedom.
I bet. Yeah. It's funny that putting people to work and they're having fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Do you get to play any games outside of Deep Rock? And if so, what do you play?
We play a lot of different games. Of course, we also play some of the competition like Vermintide, but each of us, of course, have our own games that we like. Right now, I'm totally into God of War on PS4. That's an amazing experience.
I've heard it's really good. Even we're a PC only podcast, but somehow it keeps making it into our show. So it's got to be pretty good.
Yeah.
What'd you think of E3 just in general? I thought it was a very good showing.
Yeah, I think so. I think there was a lot of promising games coming out. I'm really looking forward to Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, I think it ran away with the show. Really, yeah,
that's and I'm a big CD Projekt. So yeah, I think that's the top mark of my list as well.
Cool. And when can we expect? I know you just gave out a big update, and I just played it tonight, and it's immediately obvious the changes, and it's fantastic. I hate when you play a patch and you're like, I can't feel any of the differences. You go in here and you can see them right away. So I think that's pretty great. How long do you think until the next big patch?
Yeah, so we're actually going to do a smaller patch now because they won't make it into this one. And one of those things will be the, I don't know, I think you mentioned in the podcast that, you know, we had a feature called Mutators and Warnings, which are like changes to missions that will randomly appear.
Oh, okay.
Make them either harder or more lucrative or both.
Okay.
And that will be part of the plan is to have that part of the next patch. And because we already worked on it, but just kind of disabled it, it's not too much work for us to finish up.
Great.
So that should be before summer. So in 3 or 4 weeks, I think we'll have that ready.
Also,
then we'll start on a bigger patch and a bigger update. But we'll also run into summer vacation, and we have some because we're a new company. We're actually right now finding our own offices, and that's so we need to move the whole company. And yeah, so it's going to be a little bit of delay. We'll communicate so people will not be too too much in the dark. What happened?
Cool. Yeah. We'll stick to your Discord and look out for news, and we'll let our people know because a lot of our community picked it up just based on our.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Soren, thanks for coming on again. That was very informative, and I love talking to passionate devs for sure.
Yes. Yes. I love being part of this. Awesome thing to share this game with everybody.
Cool, man. Thanks again, and keep on keeping on. You're doing all good stuff over there.
Yes, thank you, and keep on doing your podcast. I'll be a constant listener from now on.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.